Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Nobody can tell you.
Right, I'm going to stop that because that's not working the way I want it to do. Hi, dear listener, Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee. Who's that lady?
Me, I'm Catherine Boyle.
I'm doing a new setup, Catherine, and what it means is I can't hear my computer. Boring, oh. Boring, but not boring, actually. Really exciting. Really, really exciting and wonderful. So I've just got to think, how can... Amy, you could hear that music, right? I could see that music was coming through to you. The wonderful Mama Cass Elliot.
Yep, I could hear it.
You could hear it?
Yeah, I could hear it.
You could hear it.
Uh-huh.
The guy playing it could not hear it. And I'm just... can I play some thinking music that
sure.
I won't be able to hear?
Shall I tell you when it's over?
That would be so helpful, would you?
I live to serve.
Thank you.
It's over.
Haven't got a clue. Haven't got a Scooby-Doo, which is what some people say, as to why I can't hear the old music. Oh, hang on. Hang on a second. It works. Kind of. It's not great. There's a delay. Anyway, Catherine.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it back to the old way during the breaks. How the devil are you, please?
How the devil am I today? I'm all right. I had the kids for quite a protracted period by myself today. It was all right.
Uh-oh.
It was groovy. They're nicely institutionalised, I'm happy to report.
Can I say something? Can I say something that I've been getting some flack for, right?
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying lockdown. I'm enjoying it. I'm actively enjoying lockdown and what is going on. Now that I've worked out that it wasn't lockdown that was getting me depressed, the fear of my mum dying was getting me depressed, the fear of me dying was really getting me depressed, which is actually quite an improvement because, you know, for quite a long time I wanted to die. But now that I know that lockdown isn't what's making me depressed.
Yeah.
I'm realizing I'm really liking it. I'm enjoying it. I'm actually enjoying lockdown. And I mention it because I mentioned it earlier this morning when I was streaming. I've started streaming again, twitch.tv/IanLee. And it was good this morning. It was kind of like just a brain dump where I was trying to work through a few ideas of things that I wanted to talk about on the show and things that were just going on. And it's kind of quite a healthy way to decompress after the weekend. And it really cemented the idea. I'm enjoying lockdown. I'm not going to mention the thing about privilege because I always do. And actually, there's no need to. And quite a few people as well said, yeah, I'm enjoying lockdown, but I feel really bad for saying it.
Yeah, well, what we're not saying is we're enjoying the reason for lockdown and we're enjoying the fact that there are people who are suffering and people who are losing, you know, but that's not it. It's the confinement. I think after I had like this horrible creeping dread for the first 3 weeks maybe of it, and now I've kind of surrendered a bit to it and found stuff to do. And there's always stuff to do at home. And I've realised that that I put things on hold. You know, I hadn't spent as much time with my kids as I'd have liked to in the past. You know, I really do miss my parents. My parents live around the corner, but they're having to self-isolate. But I get to wave to them from the top window every night and say goodnight to them, which I never got to do before.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are bits of it that I think are probably doing me some good. Although I would really like to go out. I would really like to go out. I'd like to be able to go to the gym. I'd like to go and, you know, go and get a coffee. I'd like to go and see friends and stuff, you know. So it's not perfect. But I'm trying to make the best of it. And I don't think there's any shame in that.
Mm. I'm enjoying it. And I'm getting very anxious as they talk about loosening the restrictions on it. Mm. That's making me very, very uncomfortable in as much as, first of all, why are they going to loosen the restrictions? Did they come up with a cure for it or something? Did I miss the cure?
No, but I think Oxford have developed a vaccine and they've started testing it and it's looking quite promising.
No, that is balls.
They started the test. That's not balls.
No, that's not balls. But the way the story is being reported is balls. We will not have a vaccine for the next 12 months. The story is kind of like one of those stories you get on the front page of the Express. They found a cure for dementia, and then you read it, and they've tested on a mouse, and it has shown that it might have some sort of impact.
They started the human trials.
Yeah, I know, but we are 12 months at the very, very earliest.
Oh, I'm not denying that, but what I'm saying is that there is some progress.
There is some progress, but saying that they are working on a vaccine to a lot of people implies, oh, brilliant, we'll have that by the summer. No, we're not going to have it this year, and are we going to get it next year? That's kind of unlikely as well.
The thing is, the pressure is mounting on the government to do something for business.
It's money.
And it's all
money. It's all money. That was the point.
But also I understand why there are people who are financially suffering at the moment and they want to go to work. They need to go to work. Money. They're not getting help from the government. Yeah.
It all boils down to money. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe this is a little bit sixth form, but surely saving lives is better than saving banks. It's banks. That's all it is. I don't want to come over all Dolly Parton. It's banks. That's all it is. It's banks. It's helping banks. You've seen the charges banks are putting on overdrafts at the moment. It's outrageous. It's all banks, for crying out loud. And then today I went out. I had to go out and get some essentials. And by the way, dear listener, there was a perfect example of me and Catherine not agreeing about something. It happens. There's loads of people. She always agrees with what he says.
Show?
We disagree more than anything. Your taste in music is awful, and mine is excellent.
The difference is, it's not a fake disagreement. It's a disagreement between two people who fundamentally like each other and so will not be throwing any toys out of prams, you know? It's not the sort of disagreement you're used to hearing on the radio, which is fake.
I went out today to get some essentials. I had a terrible headache, and I've still got it, so I had to get some Nurofen, and I also needed some bread and some milk, and I just needed some stuff to tide me over, right, for the week. And I texted you. I couldn't believe it. It was like lockdown had been cancelled, or you and me were being punked,
because
everyone was out. The roads were so busy. I live in quite a quiet area, and I had to drive to Aylesbury. The roads were so busy, and there were people everywhere.
Yeah.
What is going on?
When my husband came back from, he had to go out and do a job. He works in laboratories and services the equipment there and installs machinery there and stuff. And obviously that's kind of cranking up a gear somewhat in some places. So after a couple of weeks of him not going out anywhere and doing things remotely, people are wanting, you know, actual physical machinery to be put in. But he said the roads were actually quite busy, and he said they were full of pensioners. He said he said it was all older people in cars that he saw.
Gamblers, they're gambling with their lives. Hang on, sorry. Patty, if you want the fly is here. Patty, there it is. You can have that. Patty. Sorry, my cat is dicking around chasing the fly. It's there. Have that.
Yeah, flies apparently so delicious. My cat loves those too. There's us agreeing again. Flipping it.
Oh, no! This cannot be so! Listen, we're going to have a very quick break, a little bit early, because I'm just going to try and rewire something. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, she's eating it. That's disgusting. what could possibly go wrong doing technical stuff during the middle of the radio show? We'll find out. 03444991000. If you're enjoying the lockdown, you're allowed to say that. It doesn't make you a bad person, okay? Give us a call. Let's have a chat. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Ah, I think I'm back to how things were. I'm not really sure. I've deconstructed the little studio that I built, Kath. I've taken that down, and I've kind of moved everything. And I thought I'd found, you know me, I like to fiddle about. I thought I'd found a fancy way of, I'm streaming the show on YouTube again. Although if any of those tossers get on my nerves, they're all gone.
They're already getting on my nerves, Ian, to be honest. My spanner is hovering.
Just boot them. Anyone that gets on your nerves, just boot. I thought, I'll try something new and something different. And I've not quite got it to work. So I might have to knock this on the head for tonight. But, I tell you what, Catherine.
Yeah.
While I'm fiddling about, and I'm going to fiddle about for 2 more minutes, and then I'm just going to knock things on the head.
Okay.
Why don't you say hello to Line 1 for me?
Hello, Line 1. Who's that?
Hey, Kath.
Hello, Alan Caddick.
Hiya, boss.
That's me, yep. Like I said, hi.
How are you, Kath? I've made an achievement today in lockdown.
Oh, really? What have you done?
I made a chocolate cake without flour, butter, eggs or sugar.
Dare I say, without chocolate?
Chocolate in it.
Why is this reminding me of Baldrick's cappuccino?
There's only 3 ingredients in it, Kath.
Tell me, go on.
Chocolate cookies blenderized into a powder.
Blenderized, yep.
Baking powder and milk.
And it works, does it?
Yep.
And how fat a cake do you get?
Chocolate cake.
Yeah, is it one of them like little flat ones, or is it quite big and bouncy?
In the middle.
Okay. Well, you know, you put in stuff.
Found on YouTube.
Beautiful. Well done.
And for the frosting, we use chocolate spread.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of chocolate. Not too sweet.
Well, phone call was going a bit crackly then.
Did it? Not for me, it didn't.
Well, it's all right now, anyway.
Okay, well, I'm thrilled for you. I am absolutely thrilled. Well done, Alan Caddick.
Cheers, Kath!
Bye!
Bye!
Okay. Bye! 03444991000. That's 03444991000. I'm wondering whether there's anyone else on the phone line. I can't see. I'm going to stick my hand in the barrel and have a rattle around. Is there anyone there?
No, there's not.
Good. Because to be honest, can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. It's been one of those days where it's all gone very kind of slow and gentle, and all of a sudden it was 8 o'clock and it was time for my kids to stand at the top of the stairs with their torches to say goodnight to their grandparents who live just across the way, and they flashed their torches back. And now the room is quiet. It's only me with a lamp sitting at the dining room table. The cat's parked herself over in a darkened corner of the room. It's nighttime again. If it wasn't for having to do this, of which I do gratefully, but if it wasn't for having to do this, I wouldn't know what flipping day it was. I wouldn't know what day it was. Every day feels like a sort of Tuesday, doesn't it? 03444991000. Ian, are you still tinkering, or are you... I'm looking at him on YouTube and he looks like he's... he's plugging stuff in and all sorts. He's plugging stuff in and all sorts. So, the days are kind of melting into one. So I want to know today, what have you done to, to spruce things up? Alan Caddick there making a cake with chocolate biscuits and, what was it, baking powder and water. I mean, 03444991000.
Daniel's on the line.
Hang on. I can see Ian gesticulating wildly, saying he can't get back. What have you pulled out? Idiot. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Nice to hear a little giggle on the end of the phone. What's going on with you?
Oh, it's just perfect storm, isn't it, at the moment? Just laughing with Ian saying he's enjoying the lockdown.
Well, yeah. Do you know what he means?
Yeah, oh my God. I'll do a quick synopsis for you. I moved back to look after my mum on the 11th of March. She was coming out of hospital after a chest test. And then the lockdown was 3 days later, so I couldn't get back to the little Welsh island that I live on. And then 3 days later, my mum got some really bad tests back with the lungs. And then since then, I've sort of like had to endure this like paranoia. I've got OCD. I've got, you know, it's like,
oh my God,
I'm sort of made for this.
This for you is a nightmare scenario, isn't it? It's throwing everything out of whack.
Well, no, I'm made for it because all this cleaning that everybody's doing at the moment.
Ah, okay.
That you know, to me, that's like an everyday sort of occurrence. So all I have to do is like protect my mum. But it's just to have such quietness around me and so many like birds and bees and stuff like that at the moment. You've just got to take the positives out of things.
Yeah. You know. Talk to me about when you realised you weren't able to go home, though, because I'm thinking for someone with strict routines and stuff, that must have been panicking.
Yeah, yeah. I came back to clean my mum's house up because she'd not been well, but she was telling me on the phone that she was okay, until I got a phone call from my uncle saying, you need to come back, and blah, 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 blah. So I came back, OCD'd the house for about 72 hours with no sleep. Blitzed it, and then got back here. I just thought it was COPD at the start with. Obviously, you know, you look for the positives.
Gosh, it comes to something when that's a positive.
Well, you know, you've got to, you know, got to look at the positives, haven't you?
I understand more than you know.
And, you know, it wasn't. It was, so we've been down to Manchester Royal. We're quite close. It's good, you know, it's not two problems. The road's quiet. She's had tests. So, you know, we're just doing it day by day. But this lockdown at the moment has been, I don't know, it's been like cathartic. It's been like, it's allowed me to breathe a little bit in times of stress, you know, in times of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have handled it. Coming back from such a quiet island and, like, leaving the wife and the cats and everything down there.
Yeah.
You know, just to be here now. You know, it's been a strange time, but I do understand. And because I understand Ian so much when he's talking and when he becomes, like, random and he gets excited and then... Because he's so much like me that... It's just been like cathartic for him to come up and say to tonight that he's actually enjoying it, you know.
Yeah.
And even in times of stress, that's what we're doing, isn't it? You know, that's what we're doing.
I think so. I think after the first week or so, like I said, kicking against it or feeling like you were mentally sort of kicking against it, not that we could do anything about it for the first few weeks,
and
then realising,
you know,
this is the way the situation is. What can I control within this? What can I do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, you've just got to look at it like that. It's, it's you know, you've just got to get through problems. I mean, halfway through that as well, my auntie died. I've had to do like a funeral for five people as well, organise that. So, it's, you know, you get things thrown at you and you just think, right, do I crumble or do I sort it out?
Yeah.
And what I'm proud to say is a lot of people... around like where I used to live and where I'm living now, they have actually done that. You know, they've really stuck to the rules. And you're always going to get your Muppets. So, you know, everybody's going to have Muppets in their life. But there's a lot of people that haven't, you know, and the claps as well on the Thursdays. Stuff like that.
Yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, because some people, they've started to turn a little bit against the clapping, I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's good to show, you know, solidarity. Especially if it gets neighbours talking and stuff like that when you've never really even seen a neighbour.
Yeah, but well, we all sort of come and go in our close. And the thing I've noticed about the clapping with ours, we've got one older chap who lives opposite, who is very fit, and you would not know he's in his 90s. He does his garden, you know, he looks after it better than we look after ours, I'll put it that way. And it might take him a while, but he will be out there all day, but he's wonderful. And on the Thursdays, when he comes out, we're all facing him. And it's all, "You all right there?" And we have a little chat with him, and he has his scarf over his nose. He's not taking any chances, and I don't blame him. But it's just a way to say hello to him, really. And I've sent him a few text messages over the time.
You know,
I think it does. And I think we've all been messaging him now and again. And maybe he's getting a bit fed up of it, but this is the way he can just show his face. And it's like the Queen Mum when he comes out, everyone clapping him.
I mean, inside he must be really buzzing when he goes in, because, as you know, when you're alone, it must be like quite heartening, you know, to have something like that.
And he's a lovely fella.
He might even look forward to it, you know.
I suspect he might. He lost his wife a couple of years ago, and they were always kind of the fixture on the closer. So everyone come and go, and you know, we all arrived as newlyweds and had babies, and they've seen the kids grow up and stuff. And then of course he's on his own, and it was really sad to see him left by himself. But actually he's got at least 6-7 pairs of eyes on him at any one time, making sure he's all right and making sure he's taking care of himself. And I think he's doing all right.
Excellent stuff. That's brilliant.
Anyway, so nice to hear from you, Daniel. Well, look, you too, look out for your mum. And I'm sorry she's
I'm 100%. I'm 100%. Don't worry, kid. That's what I'm here for.
Good.
Thanks very much.
See you, Daniel. Bye. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number to call if you want to give us a ring.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, fine.
This whole thing is gone to cock. I'm peeking to. Oh God.
I've got a wee echo, I think, when I talk to you.
Yeah. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna have to go away for 5 years and work on this, because this is bollocks. I've balled something major up, so I'm just going to have to switch off and restart. Forget YouTube. YouTube is gone. Could you, Catherine, are you able?
Yeah.
Are you capable of holding the fort on your own for 5 to 7 minutes?
Yeah, of course.
Are you sure?
I think so, yeah. Just as long as Amy tells me if there's someone on the line, because I can't see, obviously. So.
There's no one on the line. So what we need is people to phone up now, because Kath has never done this before. She's a woman. She's never done this
before.
I've done it a bit. No. 0344. I'm not going until I see three callers lined up that want to hold your hand.
Oh, just go. It's fine. Get started. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number to ring. That's 0344 499 1000. I would say to tweet or text, but I can't see those, so it's probably just better if you give me a buzz. That'd be lovely. If you want to send me a tweet, though, it's at Flipping Cath. Dave says, it's been loosening up since last Monday. I think we're talking about the lockdown rather than anything personal. It's been loosening up since last Monday, and this weekend was normal traffic-wise. I miss the times when it was like driving at midnight at noon. Have you noticed that? Are people starting to use their cars more where you are? Because I feel like, as Ian said, it's like the Truman Show, and me and Ian are Truman. Because I've been staying in. I've not been out for ages. In fact, the last time I took my car out was probably a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And it was the first time I'd driven it for a few weeks, and it felt like I'd nicked it. I sat in that car and I was thinking, is this wonky? It didn't feel right. You know, something I do normally every day, several times a day, driving my car around. I drive into London and back, stupid o'clock, drive around the city, absolutely not fazed by that. You know, drive around here as well. But I got behind the wheel of that car and it felt like, tell you what it felt like. The first time I got in the car after passing my test, and you're thinking, am I right to do this? This feels strange. Surely I should have a grown-up with me. But apparently, I'm one of the only ones who've been keeping by the lockdown. What's going on? 0344 499 1000 if you want to give me a ring. You can text if you fancy, but we won't see it till Ian comes back. Who's that? Hello, Bradley.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, just finishing work. I've never phoned the radio, so I thought I'd get myself on.
The time is now. What have you been doing, Bradley, work-wise?
I work in a residential children's home with kids that don't have parents.
Blimey. That's a shift then, isn't it?
It's interesting at the minute, keeping three or four kids in a house that have got behavioural needs, special needs, all cooped up.
God, how are they coping with it?
In all fairness, not too bad. If I was I wouldn't have fancied working in the home I was working in before this, but we've got a big paddock out the back with pygmy goats. We've just got some baby pygmy goats. We've got chickens. We've got ducks. We've had them out digging a duck pond out for the ducks and stuff. So it's coming together nicely. To be fair, it's not as bad as what it could be.
Do you think they're getting used to things?
Pardon that?
Do you think they're getting used to things? So we're just talking about the first few weeks, everyone was kind of panicked by it, and now people are sort of relaxing and some people are enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I've got a few friends that are constantly on the phone, and they're struggling. The kids where we are, I thought it was going to be absolute mayhem, but it's a lot of them, including the oldest one who's 17, he's turning on saying he's enjoying it because he's getting a lot more sort of one-to-one time. There's not as much rushing about to go out places and stuff. It's quite laid back. And it seems to be going quite positive, to be fair. Even at home, I'm enjoying it myself when I am off. So it's a big... I didn't think I would, like, because I've got ADHD myself, so I never stop, but...
Right, OK. I was going to say, with the kids, I'm wondering whether the consistency and routine is something that actually could do them some good.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, what we find for a long time, the kids do rebel against routine as a rule, but it makes them feel safe. Do you know what I mean? A lot of them have got social anxiety. They don't know where to stand. They've never really had routine or solid guidance in their life. And apart from the first 2-3 days of rebellion when they don't want to confide with it, if the routine's on, we know exactly when lunchtime is, we know exactly when bedtime is, when the settling time and stuff like that,
it's boundary testing, though, isn't it? What they want is for someone to care about them enough to say, no, you're not doing this, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, 100%. And I think sometimes there's a lot of people getting... Like nowadays, I notice a lot of it's when kids are rolling around the street. I mean, we did it when I was younger. I'm only 23 myself, and there was...
Really?
Some people younger that were... We got away with when we were younger, being little... Yeah. Terrorist, anyway, as a rule anyway, but even at the start, like when you see kids on the street now, there's a lot less respect, towards the older generation and stuff like that. Like you see 13, 14 year old kids shouting at pensioners and going on ridiculous when you're walking through town and stuff, and it's not ideal. But I think that's just a changing boundaries with parents and stuff like that that's come of the newer age, because I know if I did that when I was younger, I'd have got a clipper back around the back of the head with a belt.
It's a strange one. I can't get over how young you are to have such... I mean, this sounds really patronising, but what I mean is to have such a responsible job. You know, the fact is that these kids are looking up to you and you're not that much older than them. I mean, you say the oldest one is 17. How do you work that?
We're sort of going, like, so we are, it's a residential home, so these kids, they will have family contact in certain occasions, but as a rule, we are their corporate parents, we use the term as. And I mean, I'm the youngest member of staff in there, and I mean, when I started this job role, it was when I did Camp America, straight after college. So I was over in America for around about a year. And that was coaching golf, and that was to really rich kids, and I didn't enjoy it. And I wanted to go to the opposite end of the spectrum and work with kids that have never really had anything.
What didn't you like about working with the wealthier kids?
It wasn't appreciated. No matter how much time you put in, no matter how much effort, it just didn't feel as appreciated. Whereas if you go into work and you bring four cakes for the kids, even if they're just like just homemade cupcakes, it's like it. Absolutely love it. It's the most grateful for everything. Do you know what I mean? Is they show it in different ways with the attachment issues and stuff like that. But it's just, I know what it's like to grow up and not have everything that your friends have got, or, and that's on a lesser spectrum. But when it comes, I just wanted to help young'uns that had a lot less. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an incredible thing you're doing.
I started this job in, I was just turned 19 when I started this job, and then I worked for a charity called Changing Lives, which is a homeless shelter, a homeless charity. So I was working with people coming out of prison, people living on the streets, a lot of drug abuse and stuff like that. So I've sort of worked with every end of the spectrum in a short period of time, really.
That's incredible. You've seen a side of life that a lot of people, you know, two, three times your age won't have seen.
Yeah.
Did they try and push your buttons when you went in, you know, going in as a 19-year-old? Did they try it on a little bit?
They did a little bit. I mean, the home I first went into when I was 19, there's got to be, by regulations, I believe it's a 5-year age gap between, there's a minimum between the oldest child in the house and the youngest member of staff. And so the oldest in the house where I lived, the first job I was at, that was 2 years, was 11. So it was between 7 and 11-year-olds in the first house I worked at. So it wasn't, I sort of seemed to hold the older brother sort of role model type of thing, whereas other members of staff are like a mother figure or a father figure. So it kind of works in that sort of pecking order, I thought when I first came into the job, I thought it was going to be harder for me being younger, because I thought it would take the mickey a bit with us being younger. But it sort of works out better, because I'll come into work and they'll look up to me because I'm younger, and the thing here, he comes in, he's got a tracksuit on, he plays football, he does this, that and the other, but he's going in the right direction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're young enough to remember what it was like.
Yeah,
because that'll be the thing that gets, I mean, I realise sometimes that my kids think I'm ancient. I'm 42. And I realise sometimes, I think one day you'll realise I'm actually not that old. The way you talk to me sometimes, my kids are 11 and 9, right? And the way they go on, you know, they ask me if I know Jesus and all that stuff. But dinosaurs. But they do like, I mean, my kids do respond well to the sort of younger teachers because they're cool, you know, they're the sort of people they can aspire to be like, and they can see it, you know, they're kind of within reach age-wise, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just like me growing up with ADHD and stuff like that, it's kind of, I always put forward to them, because a lot of the kids who I do work with have got either symptoms of ADHD or they're diagnosed with it, along with other behavioural issues. And I think they'll sit down and talk to us sometimes, and they'll speak about the fact that, oh, I can't do this because my brain can't concentrate long enough, it's easier for me because I've been there in school where teachers won't listen to them. You get in trouble all the time. You're sent out of class every 2 seconds because you can't concentrate. And then they sort, it's easier for me to relate to how they're feeling. And I mean, they understand that because they notice straight away that I'm non-stop compared to other members of staff, and I'm running about. I've just been doing backflips on the trampoline for the past 3 hours with one of the kids.
Oh my God.
And I mean, they'll come out, it's supposed to be bedtime, and I'm like, oh, we'll have a quick go on the trampoline first, do you know what I mean? But it's keeping that balance between being too fun but then the boundary, so that it's easier to relate when you're my age, and you've, in my, the way I look at it anyway, because they do respond a hell of a lot different to me as what they do a member of staff that's maybe 45, 50-year-old.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no pulling the wool over your eyes. You do know what it's like, and you also know when they're, you know, trying it on. And you've overcome stuff yourself, so, you know, you're not going to take no for an answer in certain situations. Listen, it's been really nice talking to you, Bradley. I hope you've had a good day, and this has been a nice way to sort of unwind, as much as you do unwind. See you later. So nice to hear from you, Bradley, there. 0344 499 1000. I mean, that is a job and a half, isn't it? Especially in your early 20s. God, they wouldn't have left me in charge of the remote control, never mind someone else's kids. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. I think we'll go and have a quick word with Alistair. Are you still there, Alistair? Alistair.
Hello.
Hi, are you right?
I'm turning myself off speakerphone.
Oh, thank you.
I'm all right.
I know the drill.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm here holding the fort. Yeah. What's going on with you today? How what kind of a day have you had?
Not too bad. Interesting conversation at the beginning about, you know, how we're dealing with this lockdown. I'm finding a lot of the days kind of are melting into one at the moment for me.
Yeah.
And I'm spending a lot of time in bed, asleep. But then I kind of, because I listen to the show and everything, and then I watch a bit of telly, I stay up quite late into the morning as well. So, you know, my sleep is all over the place. But yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm loving your art, by the way, Catherine.
Thanks very much. I'm enjoying doing it. I go through periods of, you know, halfway through, I think, oh, I've done too much, or I've messed it up, and I just plough on through. And there have only been a couple where I've gone, forget it. This is a dead loss. But
no,
it's more the doing it than the product, to be honest. Does that sound daft? It's more just the concentrating on something almost completely mindless that useful.
It's great because, you know, it's... obviously something you enjoy, and you know, I suppose, like, if I get into a good book, I don't do a lot of reading, but when I find a good book, that's something good that I can focus on, or whatever, or listening to some of my old tunes. I do that quite a lot at the moment, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, 70s.
Hey, there's something. I listen to albums from beginning to end at the moment. Rather than skipping through or just picking, you know, the odd track and then halfway through going, oh, I've just remembered that one, I'll put this song on. You know, it's a strange thing. Now you've got all the time in the world to just whack it on and just take your feet off the gas a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. So I was listening to some 70s Genesis, and then I was counting, God, this music is like 40 years old. And then, oh no, yes, well, I've been on this earth, you know, quite a while, but it's good to listen to some of the old stuff and everything, so that's great. The only sort of fly in the ointment, well, big fly in the ointment today, I was on an online AA meeting tonight, and unfortunately one of our number has suddenly passed away.
Oh no.
Someone who welcomed me into the group, you know, when I first went back, almost a year ago now. And, you know, he was a lovely man, and he was a very down-to-earth man as well. He worked with his hands. He was a railway worker, and he was always, in his shares, he was always very straight and very... he never dressed anything up. It was fascinating to hear about his experience. And he'd recently got engaged to his girlfriend as well, and also recently found a brother that he never knew he had. So it's like, that's tough, man. That's really hard. You know, for all his family and everything. It's horrible. So, yeah, I was a bit sad, obviously, after that. But I guess it goes to show that we all have to sort of make the best out of every day we have, I guess.
Yeah. And he was making plans. It sounds like he had things to look forward to. He was hopeful about life, you know, considering how he'd been, I imagine, before he got to AA. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah.
But his poor girlfriend.
I mean, she texted one of our other members, and that was shared tonight. And you know, it's hard at the moment. I think especially hard when you lose somebody. I mean, we have no idea what the circumstances were, whether it's related to COVID or whether it was something else, but you know, even so, when you lose someone at the moment, it's so difficult because of the restrictions on funerals.
Yeah.
And, you know, dealing with limits of the number of people who can attend and all the rest of it. But he was a good man, and I was very lucky to have met him. So that's the main thing.
Oh, that's... I wonder whether writing something down for his girlfriend might be helpful. I know that at the moment we all feel very cut off from each other, but a few words such as the ones you've given us tonight would probably, even if it's too much at the moment, it would probably be useful to her in the future and appreciated.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think so. The only other thing I was going to say about the sorry, Catherine.
No, go on.
The only other thing I was going to say about the lockdown is I mean, I've seen a little bit of the news reporting today as well earlier. Do you think it's right that people are starting to ignore it a bit?
Well, this is what I'm hearing. I don't know. I've not been out of the house for ages. I think the further, I mean, I go around the block, you know, for my hours. I don't even use up the hour. We walk around the block for a bit. We go and have a look at the ducks, who, by the way, the duck pond near ours, the ducks are completely over what anyone can bring them anymore. It's just like, for God's sake, can you leave us alone? I've never known anything like it. If they could roll their eyes, they would be the ducks at the moment. But we walk down to the duck pond and have a look at them, and then kind of walk past and around the block again, and sometimes knock on my mum and dad's window and have a chat with them from a safe distance, you know, through the window. But I've not been out very far at all. I've certainly not noticed, I've not been out in a position to notice the traffic. But what I'm hearing, you know, I told you my husband went out to do a service job for one of the labs today, and he came back and he said, you know, the traffic is picking up. And then I got a message from Ian. He'd been to pick up a newspaper, but it was The Sport. And he said that it's as if someone's been having us on, you know, they've said that there's a lockdown. And meanwhile, everyone's going about their lives almost as normal as far as he's concerned in his area. So I don't know. I don't know.
There was a report.
Tell you what I have noticed. One of my neighbours is getting, and this is the thing that I don't like who it's turning me into. And I don't like how it's making us feel, but one of my neighbours is seeing her family. I've seen the grandchildren going into the house.
Oh, right. Which, yeah.
You know, part of me thinks it's their business, but it's not, though, is it?
No.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Certainly, so I do wonder whether people are starting to relax
news,
things.
Local news here was saying that a lot of the sort of self-employed people are going back to do their jobs and do more work, because presumably it's tough for them because of their incomes.
Sure. What is it now? Week six? There are some people who are on furlough who are finally getting paid, I think, today or the next couple of days. But if you're not one of those people who's being, quote-unquote, taken care of, and I know that it's not easy even when you're on furlough, what are you supposed to do?
Well, that's it.
And also, you know, the tone very much in the papers has been of, come on, Boris, when are you going to open up again? Yeah. Almost as if, you know, trying to nudge him towards it. I don't want him to open up until it's safe to do so. I mean, it's not just about me and my kids. My mum is, you know, not been well, and that's why they're on kind of self-isolation. I don't want anyone taking any chances at this point, because we're not out of the woods yet. I think we know that, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, we just can't afford another second peak, can we? If it takes hold again and we have to go through all this again, and that would be terrible.
I also noticed this tone of, look at the extra hospitals they brought in, the Nightingale hospitals, what a waste of money, they're not being used. And I'm thinking, good, I'm glad they're not being used. It looked like an awful scenario, having to use those as overspills. The field hospital. But, people sort of tutting about that. God, I'm glad, I'm grateful we're not using those yet.
Anyway, look, thanks for the chat, and I hope that you get to speak to Ian again tonight sometime.
One day, one of these days, right? We're going to take a break and let's see if he's there on the other side. If not, I shall plough on. Nice to speak to you, Alistair. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio, and this is the Late Night Alternative.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, as Ian continues to wrestle with his cables, not a euphemism, I will hold the fort. And I hear we've got Robin on the line. Hey, Robin.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on with you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Good stuff. I'm all right. Why are you ringing me, Robin?
I'm ringing because I've got a fundraising page on JustGiving for the NHS.
What are you doing? Okay.
I'm running 100 kilometres in my swimsuit over the course of a week.
Why in your swimsuit?
I thought it's a unique idea. It's going to be fun. And
okay. And where are you going to do that? On your garden?
It's like our communal back garden.
Right. Okay. God, I bet you're hoping for good weather then, Robin. What if it gets cold?
I'm hoping, but I'll still plough on even if it does rain.
You're a good one. What made you want to do something?
I was inspired by Captain Tom Moore to run it because I saw all the things he was doing. I thought the NHS is a brilliant thing to raise money for, especially in these times.
Yeah, it is. How old are you, Robin, can I ask?
I'm 14.
Right. So, I mean, weird times for you. About to get weirder running around in your swimsuit. How can people find your page?
I started the page yesterday and I've raised £750.
God, that's amazing. Tell me what the page is and I'll look you up.
The page is on Just Giving.
Yeah.
If you type up Robin's running 100 kilometres in swimsuits, I'll be there.
Okay, let's have a look. And how much do you want to raise?
Well, I've got a target of 1,000, but I do hope if we reach that, then we can go on further.
Okay, let me see. Robin. Let's see. Robin is running 100 kilometres for... What is the other thing? For the NHS?
Yes.
I'm trying to find it. Can't find you. Hang on, let's go.
It's got NHS Heroes with hearts on it.
Okay, hang on a sec. Let's have a look, Robin. I can't find it.
Maybe, I don't know, if you try a capital Robin with an I, then Robin running 100 kilometres in swimsuit.
Right, I mean, there can't be that many of you doing that. Swimsuit.
I'm not sure what happened, but...
Tell you what, here we go. Robin's running 100 kilometres in swimsuit for the NHS. I've got you. I've got you. All right, this sounds good. And you're getting more money coming. You've got some money coming 4 minutes ago, 8 minutes ago, 18 minutes ago. You're doing really well.
Yeah.
Tell you what I will do is I'll tweet your link so that more people see it, if that's all right.
Oh, thank you very much.
And let's see what we can do. So we get you to 1,000, surely, easy peasy. And then beyond, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, when are you going to start doing this? Have you already started?
I'm starting next Monday.
All right. Okay. Well, let us know how you get on, won't you, Robin? Now you know how to get hold of us. We're here all the time.
Yeah.
10 till 1.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, good luck. You take care of yourself, Robin, and well done for doing something really positive.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks very much for calling. 0344 499 1000. Let me just tweet this. This is Robin's page. There we go. So you'll be able to see it. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. Now, what normally happens is I sit here in my house and Ian sits there in his house and he connects up. He's got all the equipment. He's got microphones. He's got a mixing desk. He can play your music and do all sorts of stuff. But for some reason today, he's pulled a wire out and we can't work out what's going on. Hopefully, he'll be back on the other side of the news. But I'll certainly be here for the next 2 hours. And at some point, he'll pop back up. I have no doubt about it at all. He's excellent at this kind of stuff once he's untangled the wires. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call, or you can send me a tweet. It's at Flippin' Kath with no G, at Flippin' Kath. Thanks very much to Ian for other Ian for saying nice things. And JJ Frog, we're talking as well about sort of lockdown and whether now, what are we, 6 weeks in, whether there are elements of it now that you've managed to make the most of. All right, Ian's saying that he's enjoying lockdown. He finds it kind of, he finds it makes him feel more secure. He's got into a routine. He's kind of got hold of his emotions around it and the panic has subsided. And now he's realised that actually he's getting a lot of time to do the stuff he likes to do anyway. Are you enjoying the lockdown? Are there bits of it that you've managed to make the best of? And have you just rediscovered things like, you know, reading? I haven't read a proper book, sat down and read a book properly for years. I'm ploughing through them during this lockdown. The kids are at home school, so they're getting on with stuff. I sit at the table with them or I sit next to them and I'm reading books. Incredible. When do I ever get the time to do that? I haven't put my children to bed since I started working at Talk Radio. I'm able to put my kids to bed every night. It's incredible. Those bits I am grateful for. Those bits I'm grateful for. Of course, no one is saying that they are grateful for the situation that's led us to this point, but you know, if we've got to be stuck in the house, surely there are some bits that you actually quite enjoy. 0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. And hopefully, in the next few minutes, we'll be joined by Ian Lee, who's normally at the helm of this wobbly, wobbly ship. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Best to make everything to see.
go, here we go. La 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 la. Nice. Evening, dear listener. Flipping it, Kath.
Bit of a palaver, huh?
Jesus. Oh, my head is killing me. Can you... this is boring. Does this sound okay?
I'm David Babcock and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
Ignore the content. Obviously, the content is disgusting. But audio-wise, Amy and Catherine or Kami and Atherin, does that sound okay?
It sounds good to me. What about you?
Wow! Okie dokie. Flipping heck.
We can hear that pervert loud and clear.
I have been to the den. I have been to the garage. My lovely, beautiful, tidy box of wires has been tipped upside down while I search. I have no idea what happened, right? It just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. And now I've got an absolutely blinding headache. Flipping it, man. You know I said I love lockdown? Screw that. I hate lockdown. I hate it. But nothing, here's the thing, nothing's really changed from the setup that we had last week. I've just moved it. All I've done is taken the desk out and I've just moved it. The wires are the same. I was trying something a little bit different with the YouTube, but that didn't work. So I was able to counter that very quickly. It just unplug one thing and plug something in. And I just could not get it to work. What's going on?
Gremlins, innit? Gremlins. Yeah. But you're here now, and that's what counts.
It is gremlins. I have had a headache this afternoon. I've been really good today, actually, but I had a headache this afternoon. And I don't, you know, there's debates going on over contracts and things, and who knows what will be happening at the end of June. So part of me thinks it was a subconscious attempt for me to sabotage my contract negotiations, in inverted commas, because I don't even know if there are negotiations. But something was not... Right, I'm just going to play a little snatch of Mama Cass. Hang on a second. I don't think this will be loud. Let me bring it down a bit.
I can hear
it. We got it. All right. Let's go to Dave. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Cass and Cass co-host.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. Absolutely correct. At least the bell works.
Well, I got a bell. He says...
Hang on, that's not a bell. What wasn't a bell?
That's a bell.
Do it again.
That's a bell.
Oh, it's a little
sounds
man.
Like a triangle.
Anyway.
Dave's little bell.
I stole it from a
bank. Hey, Dave, I was thinking of you this weekend. Because I finally got around to listening to that Ben Folds CD you gave me ages and ages ago.
Jimmy live gig from Berlin, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I put it on and I thought, this is going to be great. The kids will enjoy this. Mm-hmm. There's one really sweary song in there.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, yeah, it's a Dre cover, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, cool.
They didn't notice. Yeah. They had their headphones on, but I did think maybe I should turn this off.
Yeah, it covers a Dr. Dre song called Bitches Ain't.
Can I just send a message out to Anthony? Anthony. There's nothing I could do about that music. I wasn't playing that music. So stop telling me. Keeps telling me the music was quiet. I wasn't playing that bit of music. Stop telling me about... Do you not think I've been on my hands and knees for the last 45 minutes trying to fix this poxy thing when I could have just gone to bed and said, stop messaging me. Jesus. So Dave, talk to me.
Yeah, lockdown.
See, apparently it's over.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the Ben Folds otherwise, Kat? Yeah?
I loved it. I enjoyed it as well. So, yeah.
Good. Lockdown. I've sort of noticed from sort of middle of last week, traffic started moving again and increasing. And at the weekend, it was just normal, I thought. I just feel that people are just going, no, we've had enough. And it's been about 4 weeks, I think. It's starting the 23rd of March, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that, I think.
So it's been about 4 weeks. All this thing about, we got the Blitz spirit. Yeah, I think the Blitz lasted more than a month.
For everyone, sod this.
Yeah.
And black the window.
we're going to go out and don't matter about the bombs. But it just, I find, in the same way you're in, I find it a bit scary. Because I've been driving around for the last 4 months with my mask and my, you know, my rubber gloves on. And
but you are a proctologist, so...
Well, yes, yeah, exactly. Just mobile, I just, you know, sort of stop people in the street. Have I wasted my time? This is the point, you know. Because what I think will happen is in 2 weeks they'll loosen it. I don't know exactly what they mean by loosen it as well. I think people have got this idea that suddenly they're going to be going to pubs the next day and everything's going to be open. It really, really isn't, you know.
But I also don't know why. I get it, because it's, you know, money. It all boils down to money. This world is screwed because it all boils down to money. But nothing has changed from 6 weeks ago. There's no cure. No. There's no treatment. They're working on a vaccine, but we'll be lucky if we have that in 12 months. Nothing is different.
The testing's hardly up to any level that they said it was going to be. What was it, 100,000 by the end of this?
100,000 by Thursday, and it's not. I think we're about 30,000. But also, yeah. I didn't know. Is this true that we don't know if you can catch it a second time or not? Yeah,
yeah,
we don't know that once you've had it, if you're immune to it.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Because I thought that was... I thought we did know that. I thought we are immune to it. Then I heard someone say it the other day, and I thought, what? Hang on, what? My whole basis for optimism around this subject has been dashed? We don't know if you get immune to it once you've had it?
Well, I just think it's going to... You know, they're going to loosen it, and people are going to go... This, you know, they're not to be trusted, because... I think it's in Veep, you know, the vice president says most people on the whole are idiots, and they'll put the lockdown down again. And I wouldn't mind them putting it down, you know, harder, and you know, until we properly get this sorted. Because
you want it put down harder and faster and more insistent.
Yes.
Good boy. I do as well. I do as well, because my mum might die. I might die. Men and women of all ages are dying. Not, the chances are very, very slim. I don't want to cause, you know, be one of those panic mongers. It's very, very slim that I'm going to get it and I'm going to die. But people have, you know. Oh, yeah, more people died of the flu. Shut up! This is happening now. This is a thing now. Oh, it's a government overreaction, guys. It's there to control you. Shut up!
But what do you think of this theory that Boris being near to death and being brought back from, you know, the Grim Reaper, that he'll suddenly change his tune and he'll be...
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yes, that's a theory he's getting around at the moment.
No, because, it will have no effect on him at all. It will make him think you've just got to be tough to get through. I don't know what it will make him think, but the way he bounded out today, as though he'd been released from an Iraqi prison, when really what he needs to say is, I'm really sorry that our figures say 23,000 people have died. Actually, it's probably closer to 40,000 people. This is flipping awful, and we've got to up our game significantly.
No, apparently,
and you need to stay indoors.
We've won phase one, apparently. That was winning, you know.
Yeah, 40, losing 23,000 people, but if you add up the stats properly, it's over 40,000. That's winning, is it? Brilliant. Brilliant. What? He came out with contrition or humility this morning.
No, I was going to say, what I'd really appreciate from him was, do you know what? I underestimated this.
Yeah.
I underestimated it personally, and I underestimated it on behalf of the country. No more. This is what we're going to do. I would appreciate that a lot more than this kind of, oh, well, that was hairy. Now let's crack on, guys, which is what appears to be about to happen.
Mm. I'm a bit worried about it, but I'm really surprised it's lasted this long before people started venturing out. But it has only been a month, and I think Italy are thinking of raising certain things, and they have had it a lot worse. Well, maybe they didn't have a lot worse than we did. They did actually work it all out. But it's, you know, it's a scary time. But, you know, what can you do?
Cheery, flipping cold, Dave.
Oh,
blimey.
I've started reading the Craig Brown Beatles book. It's fantastic.
It's really fantastic.
His tale of going around the Beatles houses in Liverpool is really, really funny.
Are you taking notes? Am I not allowed to? I'd rather you didn't. Why? Well, this stuff is private. But you say it to four tall parties every single day. Yeah, I know, but it's private.
And the other guy says, well, I've got... The other guy said, well, I've got one book out of this, and I'm hoping to get another one.
It's some read. We're going to get him on the show. Paul Ross has given me his number, so I'll give him a call and
see
if he'll come on, because it's a great read. You know, and like you, Dave, I've read... Pretty much. I love reading the Beatles story. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I know it. I thought I did. And you get something like this that is completely
fresh. Yeah, a little minutiae, the little bits. And yeah. you know the main story. It's the little
Have you got to the bit about she's leaving home yet?
No. Oh, well, I think I know that story, though. But well, maybe I don't.
Go on, what do you think the story is?
Well, that Paul McCartney met the girl in question on Ready, Steady, Go, yeah.
I've always found that
the most fascinating stories in the Beatles.
All right, okay, well, here's... Okay, all right, Daddy, show off. All right. Do you know the story about La Connu?
About what?
L'Inconnu. Do you know the story about L'Inconnu? It's nothing to do with the Beatles.
All right. I don't recognise that at all, no.
No. Do you know the story about L'Inconnu, Catherine?
Well, L'Inconnu means the unknown, so no.
Yeah.
What?
No. Yeah, okay. Because I know a story that you guys...
Tell me it.
I know a story that you guys don't know. Well, you will know because you heard me saying it on my stream the other day. But maybe, Dave, you weren't there. So perhaps you could try and be impressed, because this is a really great story. But when I told it, everyone just said it was boring. Were you watching me play Call of Duty last night, David?
No.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. Yeah, first of all, A, your bus. Can everyone now stop tweeting me? First of all, don't tweet me articles because I'm busy. Secondly, Al Jazeera, come on. Thirdly, Kazkari, you're sending me an article about reinfection? Flipping heck, man. Why? Stop it. Just stop it.
Kazkari is somewhat intense.
Oh, God, Kaz, you, please, just take your foot off the pedal. So, you know the dummies, Dave, that you learn CPR on, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. L'Inconnu.
L'Inconnu,
Catherine. They all have the same face. Did you know that, David?
Well, no, I didn't know that. No.
They all have the same face. And CPR wasn't invented until the early 1950s. And the guy that invented CPR got in touch with a toy maker and said, "I need kind of like a toy that people can use to compression and to kiss, you know, give the kiss of life to this new thing I've invented. Could you make something that people wouldn't feel embarrassed breathing into?" And the guy was Belgian, I think, or something like that. He went, yeah, okay, I'll make you something. So he decided to make a woman, because he didn't, you know, didn't want it to be like gay and stuff. In the olden days, I'm just saying. He didn't want it to be gay and stuff. And he's thinking, well, what face do I give it? And then he had a death mask on his wall, right, of this woman.
Bit weird.
Yeah, well, it is weird. Well, no, it's not weird, actually, Catherine. There's you making judgments again. No, it's not weird. So he had this death mask of this woman that he was kind of faintly... Kaz, do you know what? Get lost. Okay, sorry, but I don't want people to die because we're ignoring the possibility, that's all. But you're tweeting me, Kaz. You're tweeting me a new story from Al Jazeera about reinfection. We're talking about it. You're tweeting me. I'm busy doing a radio show. Flipping heck, man. Dear God. Yeah, that close to getting blocked. That close. And so he said, right, I'm going to give this dummy the face of this death mask. Right? And if you investigate it further, the death mask of this woman was a really popular thing in the 19th century. It was like a painting that... It's like Bob Marley smoking a spliff was in the 90s, right?
I'm looking at it now, and it's kind of got this beatific smile
on
its face.
And what it was, it's an anonymous young woman who was found dead in the Seine in the 19th century. Her body was hauled up from... the River Seine, which I believe is in Paris, in France. And it was dragged to the banks of the River Seine. They didn't have CPR. They had no way of trying to revive her, but she'd probably been dead for quite some time. No one knew who this woman was. A death mask, popular at the time, was made of her face. For some reason, and no one knows why, it's been lost in the mists of time. That mask became very, very popular. People would buy it and put it on their walls. That is the face that the Belgian toy maker in 1954 put on the CPR dummies, and that is the face, L'Inconnu de la Seine, that still is on the death masks to this very day. The irony being, she is brought back to life thousands of times every day with a technique that may have actually saved her life. There you go. That's good, isn't it?
It's interesting.
Dr. Martin Fido and his Murder After Midnight.
Oh, get right. Cut him off. He's an idiot. That is a really interesting bit of science and history.
I think it's really fascinating. And I hadn't seen the picture before. I mean, she's a lot better looking than Rissel Siani, this death mask that everyone was obsessed with. I can see why people were interested. I mean, not like that, but, you know.
Well, go away. Go away. Listen, this is a break. This is Talk Radio.
Face.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I've been having some wicked fun on one of the local Facebook pages.
My God, what have you done now? Someone posted people again.
Yeah. Someone posted a picture, blurry picture, of a young lad, looks about 10, 11, 12, on a bike, right? Yeah. Blurry, it's taken from behind. If this little fella belongs to you, please could you speak to him about road safety? Doing wheelies in the middle of the high street and on the wrong side of the road. Hashtag stay safe. Right. My first comment. I feel very uncomfortable with someone posting pictures of kids on here. That's not right. Next comment in reply to my comment. Is it crime of the centenary?
Centenary of what?
Next comment from someone else. Ian Lee, I work in childcare, and his face is not shown in the picture. It's also for the safety of this child, seriously. I've then replied and mistakenly attributed the centenary to the second reply, not the first one. That was my mistake. So my reply is, centenary? Taking pics of kids and posting them online? You'd lose your job if you did that. It's simply not right. Actually, I'd go as far as to say it's suspicious.
Oh, my God.
She's replied, excuse me, reread your messages. I've replied, I will do no such thing. New comment. Ian Lee, honestly, this post was put up out of concern for his safety. Doing dangerous things on the road. No one wants their child to end up in hospital during this time. It's just a simple concern. Nothing suspicious about that. Then the woman who I'd accused of saying centenary. Ian Lee, you're pathetic. It wasn't me who said centenary. My reply to the person who said nothing suspicious is, that's what you would say. Then my reply to the woman who didn't say centenary, but then said centenary there, I went, you just did say it. She replies, grow up. I reply, you grow up, young man.
Young man?
She replies, seriously, you need help. I reply, what do I reply, Catherine?
You need help.
Yes, you got it. Then a new guy comes in and says, Ian, you are an effing tit. What do I reply?
You are?
Correct.
No, you are.
Then Kenneth, someone called Kenneth calls me a twit, but with an A. So I then reply, hey, man, no need to call the woman who took this invasive picture a twit with an A. That's a little harsh. Please have some manners. Then someone posts, agreed, his face is not seen, plus the next picture could be him dead in the middle of the road. Wonder
who's
if taking
you're that
about
picture?
That.
That I don't would know. Be weird.
And then...
were they driving a car when they were behind this child?
You go further down, there are some people going, I think taking a picture while you're driving a car is probably worse than what the young boy said. And it's kind of 50-50. No one's agreed with me that taking pictures of kids and putting them on Facebook pages is bad. But half the people think, it's just a kid riding a bike. And the other people are going, yeah, this little shit deserves everything he gets. But it's the most fun I've had in ages.
Well, before you gave me your observations on your trip out to pick up the quote-unquote paper comic that you purchased for yourself earlier today.
Oh, I've got the sport, guys. We got the sport.
I would have thought, well, what's the harm in it? There's no one on the roads at the moment. Yeah, Kids can ride wherever they want. They're reclaiming the streets.
Yeah.
But it would appear that a lot of people are getting about their business.
It is a busy, busy old time out there. Very busy. Oh, hello. Now what's happened?
Hi. Hello.
Oh, jeez, not again.
Hello? Hello?
We're not playing this game.
No, I'm not playing this game.
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Listen, I am not Facebook.
Hello?
That's better. Let's go to Damo. Good evening, Damo.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Catherine.
That was a low energy start to the call there. It's like you went from 0 to 3 in 35 minutes.
I think you might need recharging, Damo.
Your battery running flat, Damo.
I love you both maximum.
Can you plug yourself in, Damo, and get a little bit more charge?
Can you not hear me?
Pardon?
Is that better?
Better in terms of...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, yes, we can, but I don't know if that necessarily makes it better. What would you like to say, Damo?
I just wanted to love you both because you're doing such a beautiful job, and I wanted to tell you that I've instructed, well, not instructed, but I've told people to listen to your radio station because...
Is this the people in the off-license?
No, it's the people in my
in your drinking group.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. You're calling me a pisser.
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm saying you're drunk.
Yeah, because I've got a problem with that. But hey. That's the way it is.
Well, that's just the way it is. Damo will never change.
Yeah, I know I've changed, bro. I know I've changed.
So bored of talking to drunks, Damo.
Yeah, so you ain't got no time for me. I know that.
The thing is, what we gonna do? I mean, it's you slurring away, not getting any of the jokes, the easy jokes that I'm doing, and I just wondered how entertaining it is for the listener.
Okay, let me tell you a joke.
Nope.
No.
The last thing I want is a drunk man telling me jokes.
No, it's clean.
This is it. You're not listening. This is why I don't like drunks. This is why I don't like drunks. Because you're not listening. I didn't say the last thing I want is to hear a dirty joke. I said the last thing I want is a drunk man telling me jokes.
It'll be a clean joke.
Literally, you're not listening to me, are you?
I'll tell you a clean joke.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
What did I say?
I don't want to hear... A dirty joke.
Literally not what I said. It's not what I said at all.
Well, I can't tell you anything else. Well, I can tell you anything else. I can tell you that I've referred lots of friends.
Dame, I'm going to end this here, mate, because we're going around in circles and it's really, really boring. 03444991000. Let's go to David Babcock. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Good evening,
can
David.
Can you do a Brian Ferry impression? I've heard that you can.
Lipstick together.
Can you do Brian Ferry saying grab pussy?
Grab pussy.
Yes, he can.
Oh, Kath, have you got anything you want to hear Brian Ferry say?
No, not before.
Can you say...
This is the best thing ever.
Can you say... I don't know. Could you say, I've done a little garden in the voice of Brian Ferry?
I've done a little garden?
Yeah.
That was your voice. That was your voice.
Sorry, I got confused. I've done a little garden.
Can you say, my name is Brian Ferry, and I've had sex with a Hoover?
I'm David Babcock, and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
My name is Brian Ferry, and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
Okay. My name is Dave. No, that was David Babcock. Hang on. Got it. My name is Brian Ferry, and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
Very convincing. Very convincing.
Call you've ever made, David. Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, God. If anyone, 03444991000, we've got a couple of minutes. If anyone has got requests for Brian Ferry, then please give us a call. But, David, in the meantime, sir, what have you got for us?
Well, you're going to, you're all jovial and you're going to take the pee, but I'm quite, I found something out that's absolutely rocked me world.
If it's the thing about, The CPR dummy. Don't bother, David. Don't bother. Because apparently no one else is interested in it.
Annie, I'm interested.
Annie, what? Are you okay?
Shut up.
Are you okay, Annie?
That's got nothing to do with it. Right, go on.
Did you know? Well, you probably did know, but I didn't know until just now. That the lead singer of some of the Osmonds' greatest hits wasn't Donny Osmond.
It was one of the other Osmonds.
But
it was probably Meryl or Tito.
Tito.
Tito Osmond. Right? Meryl Osmond.
What about Jermaine?
He's one of the Dave Clark Five. Here's okay. All right, let's name the Osmonds. Donnie, oh. Marie.
Yes.
Who I think they definitely did it.
No, come on.
Jimmy, she's fit. Yeah, you would.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy. That and he hates that nickname for obvious reasons. Meryl.
Yeah.
Tito.
Uh huh. Jamal.
And Jamal. Osmond.
You're not taking me seriously. It's fine. Well.
All right, who sang that? Who? Yes, no. I know that some of the Osmonds songs were sung by other Osmonds. David Osmond, not David Osmond. What's his name? Mick. What's the Osmond guy? Donnie didn't sing Crazy Horses.
No.
What? So he didn't sing that either.
No, I don't think he did.
What songs did he sing? Why is he the main Osmond then?
Because he's the fittest.
And they called it popular. He's the fittest. He's the fittest. The soppy ones.
Donnie is the... Marie is the second fittest.
Oh, so he sang Puppy Love at least.
Yes.
Well, he didn't sing Let Me In and he didn't sing Love Me For A Reason.
No, but right, okay. Well,
this is like 50-year-old news that you're upset by.
Let me Google. Hang on. Who sang
All my life, I thought... When I've heard them songs, I've been thinking, oh, Donnie's there singing it at the front. And it wasn't even him. It's this guy with a beard.
Okay.
I was more upset about Donnie's hair when I saw him on one of these talking heads the other day. Flipping it, he's fooling no one.
Who sang what Osmond songs?
.com.
As Meryl, Jay, Alan, Wayne. God, dear God, didn't it sound awful?
Jamal.
Tito. Ringo. Virile. There's one called Virile. Virile Osmond. Gosh, Marie Osmond, though. My word. What a lady. What a lady, David. Okay, well, I think we've kind of done that now. Oh, flipping heck. Maybe we should do coronavirus. I don't know. That's great, David.
I've sucked the life out of the show, haven't I?
Yes, you have, mate. And let's just say, this show was a husk. This show was a husk. Even a necrophiliac would have struggled to have found anything attractive about this show. But you have sucked the last little susson of juice out of it.
Well, there's only one way to finish it, isn't there?
Yep. Go on.
What's his name? Virginia Plain.
03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Keith. Good evening, Keith.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Hi, Keith.
How you doing? I had a couple of days ago, I heard that Victoria Wood had died 4 years ago.
Yes, she did.
Like you to play the Ballad of Frieda and Barry. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, that we played it 4 years ago to mark the passing of Victoria Wood.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm a little bit late coming to the party then. But there we go.
Flip it, Keith.
Or...
No, we won't, but...
Or Freaking at the Freaker's Ball by Dr. Hook.
We can't play Freaking at the Freaker's Ball because the language in it is unacceptable today.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Okay.
You can't. It's got the F word for gay men.
Okay, fair enough.
So we can't play.
Well, not that. But it's got. I mean, you mentioned necrophiliacs, and that's got a line in about necrophilia.
Yeah. Well, or you could go. Or you could play it at home yourself and enjoy it yourself.
Well, I did today, but that's what I thought. I thought I might spread the love, but you know, obviously no. Okay.
We're not spreading that love, right. It's dirty love.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
Keith, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Fran. I mean, I'm saying thank you, I don't quite know why. I didn't really add anything to the show. Let's go to Fran. Good evening, Fran.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, Fran, what you got?
Yeah, just had a really good couple of days on lockdown. Done a day of homeschooling the boy, and it's gone really well, so... Yeah, I'm enjoying lockdown today.
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it? I could live like this.
Yeah. I'd wobble here and there. But, I really enjoyed spending time with him, seeing what his teachers have to go through, and, being able to do that one-to-one schooling that they don't have when they're at school. But, I'm feeling good today. And that's it. Well,
that's a lovely message. Do you get nervous at the thought of the lockdown ending?
Yeah, I do. Because I think I've become comfortable with the way that everything is at the moment. And I do. I worry about it, but at the same time, there's probably about 25% of me that says, okay, I'm looking forward to getting back to it. So, but I'm okay, and I'm lucky that I can just be present and keep going every day.
Mm. Nice one, Fran. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, that's it.
Long
may
it continue.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. 03444991000. Someone who I know is absolutely loving lockdown, Barry from Watford.
Oh, hello, sir. Yeah, I am loving it.
Oh, can I just stop you there for a moment? What did you just call me?
What did I say?
You called me sir.
Hello, sir, yes.
Oh, I like that. Pretend you work in a shop. Treat me with respect.
Oh, am I the shop assistant?
Yes, you are, boy.
Good morning, sir. What fine day it is outside.
Cut the chit-chat, Grandad. Time is money.
I do beg your pardon, sir. What is sir looking for, please?
I'm looking for those in black, size 10. Now hurry, I'm off to an important business meeting.
And would you like the ones that zip up at the crotch or leave it open? With a whip or without?
I would like to leave it open, obviously. I'm not here for accoutrement. I just want them now.
Would sir like to try them on and see?
Actually, I want the ones you're wearing.
Well, these ones are slightly stained, but I can do a slightly knockdown price, take 15% off.
Sounds perfect. Let me wear them now. I won't need a bag.
If sir would like, well, you can have. You can't have this bag because no, don't matter. But listen, I'm just going to
more of a sack.
This, I'll give you the sack. Now listen, I'm going to. Would sir just care to stand by while I quickly whip these off in the changing room?
No need. We haven't got time for that. Do it here. Standing by.
Excuse me, sir. If I just move that to one side. Pull those down there, and there we are, sir. Great. I can give that a quick spray with a Glade before one leaves.
Yes, please. It stinks.
It does stink, sir, doesn't it? You're quite right. Should we say £7?
Okay, after the count of three. One, two, three. £7.
Pounds.
I'm doing a joke. And scene.
Thank you so much. And let's just go back a bit. What do people think of that? I thought it worked quite well early on. It degenerated into more smarts, which is my stock in trade.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was humorous. I thought it was spontaneous. Clearly, unrehearsed and unplanned, which gives you a little bit of leeway. And I think the fans would have enjoyed it. Catherine?
I particularly enjoyed the part where I thought he'd gone in for a business suit, and then all of a sudden it got very dark indeed and quite delicious.
And that's what we did. It flipped it.
It was the twist.
We did a whole 180, and suddenly it was a sex shop, wasn't it? Did everyone pick up on that? Did everyone?
Because I was buying shoes initially in my head.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I bought. Some form of leather chap, it sounds like.
That is correct. And what did we do there? We didn't block each other. We just went straight in. We learned to say yes and yes and yes and
yes. My friend Mackenzie Crook.
McCrook
made a pop video with a singer that you might have heard of, a guy called Paul McCartney.
I've heard him from the Beatles.
That's the fella, yes. He made a video, and it's a really interesting little video. He plays a postman in it delivering a parcel to Paul McCartney. Cool. And there's a little bit of improvised theatre at the start of it. I wonder if I can, let me just see if I can get it up. Hang on. It's been a long time. That's not it. What's it called? What's the song called? It's the one that's played on the mandolin. Everybody is good. Everybody dance like. So let's have a listen. This is the intro. This is Mackenzie and Paul McCartney. Here's Mackenzie driving a little post van.
Here we go. This is a place. I bet he's got peacocks. They always have peacocks, these sorts of people. It's all very well having a good old place in the country, but some muggins has got to deliver the post, didn't they? Better get a cup of tea out of it, that's all I can say.
So he's arrived at Paul McCartney's house with the parcel. This could have been you, Barry, if your acting career had taken off. Could have been.
Good afternoon. This one's for you. Bit cumbersome, this one. If I can bring it in, I'm going to need a signature off you.
Oh. All right.
Stick it down there for you. There you go.
Okay.
You seen what they're doing up the road there?
No.
Cup of tea. Love a cup of tea.
I didn't ask you.
I'm sorry.
Would you like a cup of tea?
I love a cup of tea.
Did I?
What's this then? You expecting something?
I ordered.
Anyway, it goes on. And I said, Mackenzie, what was it like improvising with Paul McCartney? He said it was a bloody nightmare because he kept blocking him. He kept saying no instead of saying yes. That's one of the rules, Catherine, of improvisation. If someone asks him, you say yes. Yes, and. Yes, and. And McCartney was not doing that. He'd go, no, no. So that's that story.
That's rather nice. Sorry. Catherine, if you want any more tips on how to perform in general, we're more than happy to offer any up.
I would actually, no, but I would like to, I really don't want to share my secrets with Catherine, actually, Barry. You're welcome to, but I don't want to.
Do you know what? On second thoughts, I won't either. Because I've kept these, I call them jewels. their talents, their man-made, well, they're born. I was born with them, sadly. Born. They're man-made and born. I was born from a man.
They're good films, aren't they, the born films?
Aren't they good?
It's probably best that you keep all the stuff to yourselves anyway. If I'm really honest, it's probably for the best.
Well, I want to say a couple of things to you, Mike. Have I got 2 seconds, Ian, just to...
Let's say a second and a half.
Okay. I just wanted to say very quickly that I've been very impressed, at your acting with the foreign language stuff, dialects, we call them in the business. And secondly, Dialects. Your dialects are excellent. Also, I want to say how well you held the thoughts.
Oh, you're talking to Catherine, right, I see. Basically, can Catherine talk dirty to you in French again?
Yes, that really... And hold my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you have been very kind to me tonight, Mr. Barry. And so I will hold your thoughts as long as you want me to.
Oh, that's lovely. Do you want to see me in my leather chaps?
No.
I can send something in if you gave me a...
I'd like to see, please.
I can fax something in if you like.
Do you know this joke? This is an old Barry Cryer joke.
Go on.
There's a very old judge, and he asks for the prosecution. I need these papers. We want these papers. And the prosecution says, "I'm really sorry, I forgot them." And the judge says, "Is there anything we can do?" And the prosecution goes, fax it up. And the judge goes, yes, it does rather, doesn't it? That's not bad, is it?
It's not bad. Here's one for you. I was it was awful. I was at a funeral the other day.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And the widower turns to the vicar and goes, you got the Wi-Fi here, Wi-Fi code. And the vicar goes, disgusting. At your wife's funeral, he says, right, and is that all lowercase? It's a lovely joke, isn't it?
It really is, and with so many people passing at the moment, maybe they could use that at the funeral to get some chuckles.
Well, it's a cheer me up special, what we call it, keep your spirits up special, and maybe, in retrospect, it wasn't the nicest one. So apologies all round. I was flustered and I grabbed hold of the first one I could think of. Here's a nicer one, and I will go in a minute.
Okay.
I knew a gentleman. He wished upon a star.
Oh.
And he said, please, can my willy touch the ground? And with that, his legs fell off. And that's a lovely one. Special. That's lovely.
It's very good.
Well, good night, everyone. And thank you. Goodbye, sir. Thank you for shopping with me. Shop is closing now. until next time.
You silly old sod.
Yes.
Take care, Barry.
Bye
night.
Bye
night. That was awful. 03-444-991-1000 is the phone number. My God, 2 hours through a very, very turgid show tonight. You should see the state of this room as well, Kath. It is...
There's been a frenzy.
There's been an absolute frenzy. I bought the sport today. Here's some of the stories I can read.
What's some of the news?
After a month of lockdown, it's only natural that tempers indoors are fraying a little. Cooped up together 24 hours a day with none of the usual respite of pub or work is going to put a strain on even the strongest of relationships. But tensions between married Pete and Sonia Lee became very visible when he asked her to cut his hair and she shaved the C word into his locks. The couple of Hartlepool are both furloughed at the moment as Pete is a pub manager and Sonia is a hairdresser. Pete laughed. I thought that, unlike many people, I'm not going to go back to work looking like Wurzel Gummidge because Sonia is a trained stylist. But it's fair to say the last few weeks have been a bit stressful and we've been getting under each other's feet. I had no idea I was annoying her that much, or I would never have let her near me with those clippers. Pete, 34, said he had the obscenity in his hair for 2 days before he noticed it while using a mirror to pop a pimple on the back of his neck. My God!
Oh my God, too much detail, Pete.
He said, it took me a second or two to realise. Then I caught up. She snipped the C word in my hair. There were some warm words afterwards, I can assure you. The couple have now worked through their difficulties and 32-year-old Sonia made amends. Oh, my God! I don't know if I can say this on the radio. The couple have now... I didn't know this was going here. I hadn't read the whole story. The couple have now worked through their difficulties and 32-year-old Sonia made amends by allowing her husband to take her brown cherry. She said... It was the least I could do in the circumstances. I didn't know it was going there. I'm really sorry. I did not know that
oh
was...
My God.
I hadn't read that far. Golly gosh. While millions around the world are suffering with coronavirus, Lemworth has a very different problem. Bonavirus. I mean, it's...
There is
it's
a theme the, to this paper, isn't there?
It's...
What a strong one.
Oh, my God, I can't read this, but I'm going to send it to you, Kath, so that you can read it during the news as it is. I mean, maybe we could send it to the news guy, but there's just some words in there that I don't think I'm allowed to say on the radio. Let me just send that over to you now.
Or in real life, probably.
My gosh. I wonder if I can... I mean, yeah, no. I mean, the one line is, the last straw came when I started knocking over her knickknacks with my old man. But it really is...
Oh, my God! The last... the penultimate paragraph. Well, that is a... Dear listener, what a terrible story. You'll be glad we don't know what's gone on there.
Oh,
terrible
dear.
Business.
Dearie, Matt, a radio show where we just talk about stuff that we're not allowed to say on the radio. I don't know. Oh, dearie me. Isn't it, though? Isn't it? All right, we've got another hour to go, dear listeners. If you're enjoying the lockdown, you're allowed to say you're enjoying the lockdown. A few people have tried to call me out online. And you know what? I won't let them because I'm enjoying it. I'm allowed to say I'm enjoying it. And actually, I'm getting quite nervous about when things start to loosen, as it were. So if you're enjoying it, you can give us a call, 0344-499-1000, and likewise, you know the score. You can give us a call about absolutely anything you want. It's a slow start to the week, and you know, Monday shows aren't always rocking and a rolling, a rocking and a reeling Barbara Ann, but we're giving it a good shot. I mean, there's nothing better on at the moment. Apparently Radio 5 are copying us, Catherine, and they're having like a corona-free late-night show with Colin Murray, who I like a lot. I've met a couple of times. Very, very nice gentleman. At least I think I've met him. I may have just seen him on TV whilst I was very high. But apparently it's got like... They're playing like pub sound effects in the background.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Well, I think
we did do that about 3 years ago.
We did. We did do that. We have another hour, and during the news, I'm going to tidy up my cables. 03 It's not a euphemism. I just tore this place apart trying to fix this bloody thing. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call about absolutely anything. And if you've got any games that we can play, I want to play some games in the next hour. Let's have some fun. If you've got any games you want to play in the next hour, then give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, man alive. I don't know. Why, now, why is that not? Oh, boily. What a wicked web we weave when first we set out to deceive. Now, why is that not playing? There, it's playing quietly. Oh, God. Ah!
Oh. What did you do different?
I didn't do anything different. I've done nothing different. Hang on a minute. It'll be this. I can fix this. Hang on. It'll be... There we go.
There okay. It is.
All right, hang on. Here we go. There we go.
Once I believed that when love came to me, it would come with rockets, bells, and poetry. But with me and you, it just started quietly and grew. And believe it or not, now there's something groovy and good about whatever we got. And it's getting
Thousand is the telephone number. Kath, can I just check I can hear you, please?
Yeah, can you hear
me? Yeah, it's working.
All right.
Sing hosannas. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I don't feel that I have personally been delivering the goods this evening, so we're going to stumble through the rest of the show. And just, you know, and I'll try better tomorrow, Catherine. That's all I can do. I will try better tomorrow.
What more do they want? Blood?
Yeah, they want blood. They want blood. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it doesn't work as well as others. And people will see that as an opportunity, a weakness. and an opportunity to attack. And I'm cool with that. That's fine. If that's what they want to do, then they can do that. But I don't know. There's something. I've been thinking recently. I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. It's going. No, come back. It's gone. Hang on.
Oh no.
Hang on.
There it is.
It came back.
Bless you.
You're very welcome. I have been thinking recently that maybe there is more to the world than just being on the radio. That maybe there's more than being on the radio. And that perhaps I want to do something outside of radio, separate to radio, and I'm kind of looking very. I'm looking loosely. I was talking to Chip about it today. Maybe going back to studying, and studying like I don't know what it would be, like a branch of psychology, like I don't know, therapy or counselling or I don't flipping know what it would be.
What did Chip say about it? He didn't hate the idea.
He said, "Hey, you'd be good at it." I said, "Look, I think I want to kind of do what you do," and he went, "Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, you'd be good at that." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So yeah, he didn't laugh at it. So that is something. And we chatted about it briefly, and he said, "Give me a call when we're not, when you're not paying for it," because we were in a session, and we'll have a chat about it. And he said, about 3 years. It'd be 4 years if you want to go and work in America, and you'll need a master's. Otherwise, it's 3 years. So yeah, I might go and do that or something. I don't know.
Why not? Why not? These things are all open to you.
No, I think you're right. Because I'm finding radio, well, for ages. I enjoy it. It's a great job. But there are very few shows. Me and Catherine phone each other after the show every night just to go through it and just kind of decompress and talk our way through some bits and what bits work and what bits didn't work and which callers got on our nerves and which callers surprised us and all of that stuff. And there are very few shows where afterwards I'm going, yes, man! Yes! Yes, I'm alive! I'm alive, Jason! And I don't necessarily think you get that if you go and do counselling or therapy or anything like that, but I feel a slight dissatisfaction. There has to be more than this.
I've noticed that you are at your happiest when you are being helpful to other people.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. As you said, it's not entirely altruistic because it makes you feel better. But no, I think it'd be absolutely perfect. You kind of do that on this show. I think it would add to, it wouldn't take away. It would add to what you've already built up doing this show. And also in life, the fact is you're good at it on this show because that's what you are like in life. And you've lived it.
So maybe there's something in it. And thank you to all the very kind people that when I tweeted about this and wrote on Facebook, got in touch and suggested this and suggested that. And I have read every single comment and I have looked at every single suggestion and some people who have been through it. And I appreciate that. And I'm just thinking, is this it? I'm really... we talk about the contract. My contract runs out in 2 months, and who knows what's going to happen. This is no way to live. This is no way to live with 7 weeks to go. Thinking, oh my God. And I have no other skill that I can fall back on.
Really?
Hello, typewriter. Tippy.
You stop me in my tracks then. I'm pretty sure you've got... Yeah, pretty sure you have.
Okay, I'm a great lover. But apart from that, I haven't got any other skills, really, to fall back on. What other skills have I got?
Well, I mean, the voiceover stuff, TV stuff.
Come on.
The voiceover stuff. The corporate stuff is a nice little earner.
No, but that's... No. That's not a skill.
Of course it's a skill.
It's not... Voiceover stuff is not a skill. That's not a skill. But also, that's...
Why isn't everyone doing it then?
Well, no, because that's a nice little... It's not a skill. You couldn't make a career out of that. Well, I couldn't make a career out of that. That's dependent on my celebrity, on the height, the size, and the width of my star.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Mm. I just think you've got transferable skills. You could surprise yourself.
Well, no, but this is why I'm saying I want to do something else, because I want to train for something else that I can do. I can talk. And if I'm not on the radio, I don't get any corporate gigs. And if I'm not on the radio, I'm not going to get very many voiceover gigs. I don't get very many voiceover gigs anymore anyway. Once this ends, and it will end at some point, I don't think it's going to end in June, but it will end at some point. Well, then, unless someone offers me another radio show, what is there? You know, I'm just a gob on a stick.
I know what you mean.
Isn't it? Let us go to Bill. Good evening, Bill.
Yeah, it's good morning, Ian. How are you?
What have you got for us? Oh, it's Bill. Bill, I don't really want to talk to you, mate.
I'm actually ringing to apologise, Ian. I shouldn't have dumped on you a few days ago or a week ago, but I did. It was genuine at the time. My thoughts and feelings were genuine. I've actually rung up to apologise before you say you don't want to speak to me. I'm ringing up just to say I'm sorry that I dumped you on you. I shouldn't have rung up and dumped you on you.
Right.
That's all I want to say. You can either accept the apology or you can cut me off, Ian. It's up to you.
There are loads of things I can do, actually. You're right, absolutely right, is my call. What you did the other day was disgusting, mate. It was disgusting. Whatever you're going through, the way you spoke to me was disgusting.
Well, I've just wanted to apologise, Ian.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's how apologies work. Sometimes the person who is the recipient of the apology doesn't have to accept it. And
well,
can
don't
also
accept it, Ian, then. Don't go around the bush. Either you can accept it and I apologise, or you can tell me not to ring in again. It's either or.
It's not either or. Here's the wonderful thing, Bill. You don't get to tell me how I respond to your apology. You don't have that right.
You don't have to accept it.
No, but you're giving me two options, and there are more than two options. And one of the things, when someone makes an apology, if they're genuine, they will listen to what the other person has to say about how their words upset them. And yet you're choosing not to do that. You're getting angry and defensive with me when you phoned up and did, I'm going to say it, Bill, one of the most despicable phone calls I've ever had in 20 years of radio broadcasting.
In what respect?
In the respect of everything you said in that phone call was disgusting.
It feels to me that you think I was lying and taking the PISSED out of you.
Well, I'm not saying you were lying about how you were feeling. I do think you were taking the piss out of me, and I do know that you are a liar, because lots of people have reminded me of some of your previous phone calls where you said that you drink 90 pints of Guinness a day, so that we know that you are a liar. Now, maybe you don't realise that you lie. Maybe you have Munchausen syndrome. I don't know. But no, when you apologise, you have to be open to hear what the other person says. The person making the apology does not get to dictate how the person receiving the apology responds to it.
I'm listening to you.
Why do you think what you said was unacceptable?
Because I didn't consider how it could impact you as a human being.
Right, okay.
And maybe your listeners that might be in a similar situation.
There we go, yep, yep.
So, I thought about it a lot, Ian, and all I can say is that I apologise. I understand the impact it could have had on yourself. Maybe Kath, because she was obviously part of your show, and also the listeners out there that could be in a very similar situation, especially at the moment with things that are how they are. So I felt the right thing was to do and offer my apology, and if you was humble enough to say, so I accept it.
I don't think you know what the word humble means. If I was humble enough to accept it, I don't have to express any humility in this this exchange.
Okay, so I've used the wrong word.
Bill, I accept your apology, but I never want to speak to you again.
That's okay.
I know it's okay. So, people phoning up, abusing what... abusing how... I've got an echo in my voice. Abusing my kindness and saying that I am not giving them what they need and they are going to kill themselves because of me. People who say that, I don't really want to talk to them again, Bill.
Okay,
I don't really want to talk to them again.
Yeah, okay, so respectfully, I'll end the call there, Ian. Thank you for your time, sir.
Goodbye, Bill.
Bye.
I don't really want to talk to you again.
Put the phone down, Bill. His Bill's gone. Fair enough, Kath, isn't it? That was cool. The other night was outrageous.
It was awful. It was awful. As you say, right, someone can offer an apology. That doesn't put the power back in their hands as to how it's received.
No.
And, you know, it was manipulative enough last time around, so let's not go there again.
It's horrendous. Everyone's going, oh, what did he say? You should have listened. I'm not going over it. Did we do the quarter past break?
No, we haven't.
Oh, Amy, I apologise. Let's do it now. Thank you. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath. It's nice to be speaking with you again. Ian, I just heard what you said about, you want to do something different. You're looking for a new direction and possibly psychotherapy. And my ears picked up because I don't know if you remember, I spoke to you a couple of months ago when you were talking about Harry and Meghan and why you felt people were treating them the way they were. And anyway, we got talking and I mentioned a bit about my story, that I was a teacher. And I kind of did that for a while. And then I think I had a very similar feeling to you. I could hear it in your voice.
Were you the guy with the camper van?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, and, you planted some seeds, you did, fella. Oh, my God, you planted... Oh, you stirred the old noodles a little
really?
Bit. Yes, oh, yes, sir, yes.
It's funny because after I left teaching and I did a bit of travelling and I went and worked abroad a bit and I worked in the final school. I went to Portugal for a while. And I was very unhappy in a school. I was giving, sort of teaching my last final go, really, after about 17 or 18 years. And to cut a long story short, I don't want to bore you, but basically, I think I heard in your voice something that I felt when I was at a similar point in my life, I think, because I'm a couple of years older than you, but a very, very, very similar point in my life. And something just clicked in me. And I knew that I was unhappy, and I knew that I needed to change something, and so I did. And I retrained as a psychological therapist, and I did it part time, and it took me 4 years, and I had to work while I was doing it, and it's quite difficult because I was living in Portugal at the time and I had to keep travelling back to England to do courses and various things.
Yeah.
But I got there in the end. And I just want to say, because I really did hear it in your voice, that I think just give it a try, you know. Follow that gut feeling you've got. Because I've heard you say it before. I've heard you talk like this before, and I can really tell that you're kind of in a really good place to give mm-hmm. something a try. And I listen to the way that you speak with people. And I'm not a very experienced psychological therapist. I'm qualified and I've practiced on and off. I actually did it as part of my travels with the van, but that's another story. I've listened to you, and I think the way you intuitively sort of understand people and empathize, and because of your own experiences, but also your skills with your conversation, I think you'd make an amazing therapist.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that boost of confidence. And, yeah, your phone call really resonated with me and a few of the listeners as well. And I know I've spoken to Kath about your call a few times. And it was exciting to hear someone who had gone, stuff this for a bit. I'm going to go and do things my way. And, yeah, that would be nice. That's partly why I started taking Fridays off, was in small part because of your call. And then all this weirdness happened. And so I think I only took one Friday off in the end. But... Joe, I appreciate that. Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Will. Good evening, Will.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Will.
Hello, Kath.
Hey, Will.
I am just calling because of kind of the same reasons the previous caller was calling about. Your kind of like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm completely reading it wrong, but just a sort of sense of like, maybe there's something else, you know, that I should mm-hmm. be doing
yeah.
with my time. And I feel very similar sometimes. I remember once particularly, I was on a tour two years ago, and I was just halfway through this big run of like 3 months of shows, and I was doing what I'd kind of always wanted to do, what I've, in theory, what I've sort of been working to do. And I just had such a similar thing, this kind of sense of like, and I still have it with me, it's never gone away, this kind of sense of like, what else could I do? What maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, maybe I'm not in the right place or something. And I don't know, it's very strange. And I still obviously love what I do, and I still do what I do. But I don't know. I wondered if there was something that I spoke to a friend of mine at the time, and I had a little bit of a sort of strange sort of wobble, and spoke to a good friend, an old teacher of mine, and he reminded me of, you know, kind of, he said there's a kind of evolutionary thing, you know, that it's a kind of, that of course, like follow your gut and listen to yourself, but there is also, I think, a kind of natural response to kind of feel like there's something else, and do you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily like a bad, like, you know, it's to be listened to, but it's not, it might be quite a natural feeling that, you know, maybe there's another field, maybe there's another woods with different kind of berries, or do you know what I mean?
Hmm. I do know what you mean, and you know, I enjoy doing the radio a lot. Most of the time, I don't enjoy the stuff that goes around it. I don't enjoy the business aspect of it. And that's why I've got an agent and they deal with that generally. But, you know, I still have to kind of get my hands dirty. But I like, if I could just come in and turn on a microphone and hang out with my best mate for 3 hours a night and there was no interference or anything from anybody else, yeah, that'd be cool. But it doesn't fill my days. It doesn't fill my soul. And it feels like I've been going, will you turn your radio off now for so long, you know, to come off speakerphone. It feels like I've been doing that for so long. I'm tired of telling people to come off speakerphone. I'm tired of it. And maybe I just need to refresh the act a bit. Okay, well, that's possible and that's easy to do. Or maybe I need to have a go at something else. And be prepared to fail, you know, be prepared to do something that's so you know, I've always said I never want to go back and study again. I never want to formally study. I never want to sit exams. You know, my motor, when I did my scooter exam a couple of years ago, it was like, right, that's the last exam I'm ever doing in my life. I don't like exams. I'm not very good at them. But maybe I have to face that fear and put myself through that, and I might fail and it might not work. Okay, but you know, I can say I had a go, and who knows what I might pick up on the way. And the people that really impress me at the moment, I tell you, the two people that really impress me the most at the moment, and they're not radio people. Well, one of them kind of is. One of them is Russell Brand, who I've really been how do I phrase this? I've really been influenced by him a lot recently. You know, someone I hadn't really considered for a long, long time, and I've been really influenced by him a lot. And also my therapist, Chip, who we had on maybe a month or so ago. And they're kind of like, role models is perhaps too strong a word, but I look up to them, and Chip in particular, and I think, well, I think I want to do that. I'm not looking up to anyone in radio. Certainly don't look up to anyone in TV anymore. So maybe. I don't know, Will. I don't know. I'm just kicking ideas around. And I'll probably look at the courses and what it entails and think, well, stuff that. That's way too much hard work. And I won't do it. But it's certainly got to be worth having a look.
Yeah, I completely get it, and I feel the same way, and I have this strange feeling that I could do other things, and I totally know what you mean. I think that I will do other things, and I think you will do other things, and I think that equally at the same time going on is the reality of now, which is, you know, I find myself kind of, you know, having to re-look at what I do and try and something that really helped me out the last year or so. I put a lyric into a song that just is, we are here and this is happening now. And I get to sing that to myself during every show. And it's kind of a little note to me just to remember that I'm here, you know? Which is good. I'm sure you have similar things going on, but yeah, I think I struggle with, because it's so easy just to exist in now and just to kind of lose yourself and just be comfortable, and taking that step to doing something that you could fail at and that would feel scary is a really hard thing to do.
It's weird being a human, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely is now.
It's weird. I mean, yeah, it is weird now. And in our hard work sometimes. Sometimes it's easy. You know, you're sat in the garden and your kids are playing football and you're holding the hand of the person you love. Those moments are easy. But most of the time it's flipping hard work, isn't it? Maybe I'm just doing it wrong.
No, I think you're doing it brilliantly. I think that it's we're also, I mean, if we're talking about the evolutionary sort of thing of, you know, that we're kind of pre-programmed to look for other things. I think we're also pre-programmed to forget, like, our value. You know, like, we forget what we do. And I think it's really easy to forget, like, you know, you're great. The show is brilliant and what you do is incredible, you know, and it's easy to forget that and kind of lose sight of that in those moments when you're, but I think that also can be something that spurs things forward, you know. It's also complex, and I don't know, I just want to bring up and say, like, in theory I should be just happy with what I do now, because I do what I love doing and I make a living out of it, but I totally know what you mean. I feel the same way.
Hey, Will, I enjoy chatting to you, mate. Thank you so much. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Clodagh.
Hello, Ian and Kath.
My first ever Clodagh.
Really?
On a phone in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that name.
Oh, thank you. It's quite unusual. A lot of people can't say it or spell it.
I'm saying it right, aren't I? Clodagh.
Oh, you are doing, yeah.
Because hang on, Clodagh Rodgers obviously is the famous one, but it's a great name. It's,
thank you.
It's a brilliant name, yeah.
I've been listening for about 3 years, but it's the first time I've had the courage to actually ring up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was ringing to say that I'm also loving the lockdown.
Are you? Go on, why?
Well, I'm bipolar, so I hardly ever leave the house anyway.
Oh, can I ask you a favour that some might consider to be cruel?
Go on,
but it's certainly not. Because I can you say bipolar with your accent again?
Bipolar.
Oh, you make it sound magical. I hope you don't think I'm being flippant, but you said that and I got a little rush then. That was wonderful. Go on, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so, like I said, I don't go out very much because of having that. And so, because of the lockdown, my husband is now working from home. So he's here a lot, so I'm not on my own all the time. And we're a couple that have really good banter between us. We're always shouting and swearing at each other, but we're laughing as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just like, you know, when you hear people shouting and swearing at each other, they're normally doing it in an angry way. We do it in a funny way and in like a banter way. Yeah. And we're just doing that all day long. He's trying to work on computer and I'm just like, you know, calling him all names and son and stuff. And we even like use the C-bomb. But, and because we say it to each other so much, we've desensitized it now because we just say it so much. But don't get me wrong, we don't do this in public.
No, but if you did, you're a couple, people. You're a young couple, and you're in love, and this is the language and the shorthand that you've come up with, and it works. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's nice having your fella around, is it? You prefer him being there than going out to work?
Oh, yeah. We've been together for 18 years, but I never, ever get fed up of his company.
Oh. Clodagh, what a beautiful thing to be able to say and a wonderful thing to hear. That's magic.
I know, we're just so madly in love even after all this time. Just like people are like putting all sorts of things on Facebook saying, oh, are you killing your partner and stuff like that? And I'm thinking, no, I'm loving seeing him more. Thank you very much.
Oh, mate, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. You know, having come out of a marriage that didn't quite, you know, go the way that we had intended it to go when we got together.
Yeah.
And you kind of do think, well, maybe this stuff you hear about in songs is all a bit of a myth. But to hear some, you know, someone that's been together for 18 months and 18 years, sorry.
Yeah.
and saying that, that's brilliant, man. That's brilliant. And that's inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
No, thank you. Maybe he might be saying something completely different, of course. My God, I've got to stay at home with Clodagh. And she keeps calling me a C-bomb while I'm doing Zoom.
Well, he's actually fast asleep in bed and he's no idea that I'm ringing. And he'll shocked tomorrow when I tell him. He'll be so shocked. Will I be able to get this on a podcast and listen to it and let him listen to it?
You'll be able to listen to it on the Talk Radio website. If you go to the website, you'll be able
to. You're going to be in the podcast, Clodagh. Oh, I don't think there's any danger there.
Whoa, you're going in the podcast. Clodagh, go and jump on him now. Go and jump on him.
Nice one.
Exactly. Go and jump on him.
Yeah, I might do. I might wake him up just to tell him I'm so excited.
Go and wake him up go on, do it.
And call him names.
Exactly. Whisper into his ear that he's a C-bomb. I'd love to be woken up like that. Clodagh, really nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
See you later on. Bye-bye.
Bye, Clodagh.
What a lovely call, Kath. Imagine. Never gets tired of being with him. That's wonderful.
That's so nice. Actually, I caught the end of the Grace and Perry Art Club thing. That I think it was on Channel 4.
Right, yes.
He and his wife have got that kind of relationship where they are, I mean, I think they've been married for 30 years.
Yeah.
But obviously they're super kind of productive and artistic, and she encourages him. He drew a painting. He did a painting of her for, you know, he's a ceramicist, for a big plate or something. Basically, this whole art club thing, they're going to choose people in lockdown's work for an exhibition. And, you know, people are getting creative that haven't picked up a paintbrush for years and years, and it's brilliant. But he did a portrait of her, and he wasn't supremely happy with it because I think he wanted it to be brilliant, and in his mind it wasn't as brilliant as it could be. And she looked at it and she was kind of welling up, and she was thrilled with it, absolutely thrilled with it, and you could tell it was meant, you know, and she loved it. She absolutely loved it, and she was thrilled that he'd done this portrait of her. that's what we all want, isn't it? Someone who impresses you and shows you that they are thinking of you and they wish they could do better for you, but actually what they're doing is amazing. All that. I know it sounds like airy-fairy stuff, and I've been through times in my life where I've thought that the pop songs were lying, but I've seen it. I've seen people have it, and I know it's possible.
Let's go to Lisa. Good evening, Lisa.
Hello, Ian. I've never really felt the need to talk, ring in to talk radio before. I was an ex-listener of LBC and switched over to talk radio in recent months.
Okay.
After your previous phone call with that fella that was on about two calls ago, I think I'll be switching back to LBC.
Okay.
I think the way you spoke to him,
I don't know which call are you referring to? I don't know which call you're referring to.
The one that you more or less told off like a little child, and then
Do you know what he was phoning? Well, I told him to put the phone down because he hadn't. Do you know what it was he was apologising for?
Not to be funny, but in the grand scheme of things.
No, you don't know what he was apologising for, do you, Lisa?
You're under a therapist for some kind of mental illness, and it sounded like to me he was as well. He's got a few problems.
Gosh,
and the way
you're a therapist, are you, Lisa?
Really,
you know this for sure.
Disgusting.
Lisa, we can have a conversation, or you can throw your little hissy fit and go back to.
Well,
can we have a conversation? Because you're not telling me what you heard. You're making an assumption there. Okay. You made an assumption
about it. Okay, then. So what was you ringing up for then? What did you have to apologise for?
Well, the fact that you don't know. Here's the thing about this show.
You made him feel like he wanted to take his life. Lisa,
I didn't make him feel like he wanted to take his life.
That's what I heard.
Well, again, you weren't listening. That's a wicked thing to say. And you weren't listening to the phone call that you're phoning up to complain about, and you didn't hear the previous phone call. This isn't the Majid Nawaz show. This isn't the Nigel Farage show. This thing takes a little bit more thought, and it's not really something you can drop in and out of. It's kind of got a flowing narrative that can stretch out. Lisa, if you let me finish, I'll let you speak. God, you're a rude woman. Is this how they train callers on LBC? To be this rude. I haven't listened for so long. Lisa, I will let you finish. We're having a conversation, or at least I'm trying to.
But you're being
very, very rude and not letting me finish my point. Can I finish my point, Lisa?
Right, just like you did with the other fella. But go on, yeah?
Can I finish my point, Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay. The point was, I can't remember now because you've been so rude. You've distracted me.
Really rude, haven't I? Yeah. Takes one to know one, but crack on.
It doesn't take someone to know one. Okay. Lisa, that's a thing a 6-year-old
would say. If you're
looking
for a new direction in your life, I would say you really don't suit radio with your attitude.
Okay.
Go and get your head sorted out with your therapist.
Wow, Lisa.
And go and take another new route.
Lisa, listen to you mocking mental health issues. Gosh,
I'm not mocking it at all.
Go back to LBC.
Go back to LBC,
go on, Lisa. They deserve
cut
you.
Me off. Go on, tell no. me to put the phone down. Go on.
I'm not going to cut you off. I'll keep you on all night.
Yeah. Well, I'm still waiting to see what the conversation was about.
This is not a show that you can dip in and out of. It has a flowing narrative.
Tell me what the conversation was about.
I thought you would have known as you phoned up to complain about it.
There you go.
Wow. I'm dazzling you with facts and logic.
Wow, yeah, facts.
And all you can do is go, okay. Wow.
This is a listener
you're
ringing
hang
in.
Up. You're going to hang up.
All the percenters,
you're gonna
you
hang
really
up.
Do let down talk radio.
You're going to hang up because you can't
on,
have
quick,
a conversation.
Run.
You're going to
run.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, go on. We obviously, you're not going to tell me what the call was about, so...
No,
and I've got it ever so wrong, you know.
You have. You've got it massively wrong, so yeah.
I heard was you had massive attitude saying, put the phone down. Don't you dare ever ring me back.
I told him to put the phone down.
Exactly.
I told him I'm an award-winning broadcaster. Yeah. I told him to put the phone down because he thought he'd put the phone down and he hadn't.
Yeah, and don't call me back. I don't want to hear from you.
Don't want to speak to him ever again. He's a horrible man. He was a horrible, horrible man. Yeah.
You're going to look in the mirror. I think you might see one there as well.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So are you scared about this lockdown, Lisa?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Why would I be?
What's upsetting you?
You, your attitude.
No, there's something else.
It isn't. There's something else. What? I listened to Mike Graham, James Whale, and Julie Hartley Brewer.
I could tell.
You know, they do have.
I could tell by your attitude.
They have a sir. Don't try.
I could tell by your attitude, Lisa, that you listened to them. Yeah, that was obvious.
I listen to all of them on talk radio.
Great.
But unfortunately, at 10 o'clock, I have to switch over.
But you've been listening for the last... You've been listening for nearly 3 hours.
Sorry?
You've been listening for nearly 3 hours, Lisa.
No, I haven't. I've only just got in. I wouldn't listen.
Where have you been?
Yeah, I just really wouldn't.
Well, you phoned in. Where have you been?
No, I phoned in because of your attitude.
Because you were listening.
Towards someone quite clearly that had some kind of mental illness.
You were listening.
You're saying, don't dare ring me back.
You were listening. You said you'd never listen, but you were listening.
Well, I walked in, because I've been out.
And you leave the radio on all night, do you?
Of course I do.
Right.
When
Where
I'm
have
out.
You been? Where have you been?
I've been out.
Where have you been, Lisa?
I've been out.
To work?
Well, that's none of your business.
So you've been defying the lockdown? Gosh, that's selfish. What are you doing out at midnight when there's supposed to be a lockdown? That's terribly selfish.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
People are dying, Lisa,
selfish.
because of people like you.
And then say to them, don't you dare ever ring me back.
Lisa,
and then you're very judgmental.
Lisa.
Like you're trying to do with me now, but it really isn't going to work.
I'm not trying, I'm succeeding. Lisa, you've been out at midnight. Why are you scared to answer the question? Why are you scared to answer the question?
I'm not scared.
Okay. Why are you refusing to answer the question? One, I don't believe you were out.
But two, so you were out
defying the lockdown at midnight?
Well, I think we're allowed, 20 minutes of exercise? Is that right?
No, that's not right.
Oh, it isn't. Oh, I must have got that wrong as well.
You have? Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you doing getting exercise at midnight?
There's less people out.
Yeah. You're not a very convincing liar, Lisa.
I'm a liar. Oh, okay. What are you going to call the next person that calls up?
I'm going to call them a good caller because it's Raheem. Raheem's a great caller. Raheem's a great caller.
Don't call me back.
Yeah.
And someone rings up and tells, okay then, hands up. I didn't hear what I'm big enough to say, hands up. I didn't hear the whole conversation because I'd gone out. Now,
you'd gone out for exercise at midnight.
Was about.
You'd gone out
saying,
for. It's not my job.
No.
It's not my job.
How rude you are.
It's not my job. No, Kathy, it's not my job to.
No, I think
tell
your
you.
Job should be, if you're looking for a different direction work-wise, is to walk out of Talk Radio building and not come back again.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Seriously,
I appreciate your suggestion.
You should really take your own advice and just tell people to ring in. I've never had the urge
so it works.
To ring up until
it works.
Now.
It works then, doesn't it?
What's that?
It works then, doesn't
and
it?
And people down. Then people ringing up to complain about it. Then you're trying to put them people down.
You're listening and you're
show,
listening.
Come on.
You're listening and you're phoning up.
I weren't listening. I was out. I just got in. I just come into the kitchen. I could take a picture and send it to you. My radio's in the kitchen.
I don't want to see a picture of your kitchen,
and
Lisa.
And I heard your attitude. And I was
really
just
don't
like,
wanna...
wow, what is this about?
You listened and you phoned up. So it worked. Well, yeah, you did. You listened and you phoned up.
Yeah. Cool. Good on you. Just to tell you how much of a rubbish presenter you are. You
brilliant,
really
isn't
are.
It? It's brilliant.
Because you've been on who... what was it? You're
listening.
Get me out of here. What?
You'll listen again.
That's it.
You'll listen again. You'll listen again.
Oh, trust me, I won't.
You'll phone again. We'll
I
speak
won't.
Again. Yeah,
I
you
won't.
Will.
And even if I wanted to, you wouldn't accept the call.
I would accept your call. I've not
no,
cut you,
you
off.
No, you
I've not cut you off. I'd love to speak to you again. I can't wait for our second call.
Yeah, be intimidating as much as you like.
Intimidating? You're intimidated by this manners?
What this conversation was about, because apparently I've got it wrong.
You phoned up to complain about something that you completely misunderstood. So,
right.
Yeah.
So you never said to the bloke that quite clearly had mental illness, don't put that on me. I heard all that. Don't dare ring me back. I don't want to hear from you again.
Sometimes you have to speak firmly to people, whatever their position, whatever their condition. Yeah.
I would never speak to anyone like that.
Well, that's because you're weak.
I really wouldn't.
That's because you're weak.
Not a point of being weak. You can try
it's weakness.
And twist it round.
No, I'm not twisting it. It's a fact. It's
you
weakness.
Are.
And
you
it's
are.
Unhelpful.
Like
you don't help
now.
People.
You're trying to intimidate me.
No, I'm not trying.
Really
Lisa, simpler. This is not...
You're
this
saying
is not.
To me I'm a good liar. Now you're calling me a liar.
You didn't go out for
really?
Exercise. Yeah, you didn't go out for exercise. You're a liar.
Okay, then. So what did I go out for, then?
I don't think you went out, Lisa.
I did go out.
No, you didn't.
So
you're
did
a liar.
Why did I go out?
You were listening to the show.
Right, if I listened to the show, I would have heard the entire conversation.
Not
which
really.
I didn't. All I heard was the tail end of it. That was it.
Okay, so you've just admitted you've got no idea what we were talking about.
Right. No, I've got the tail end of it. That was
yeah,
enough.
So you've got no idea what we were talking about.
I'm not waiting for you to tell me what you were talking about.
Absolutely no intention.
To do.
No.
So there you go. And then... and
there you go.
On the same end, just...
I really
want
to read
liar.
A story. I really want to read... I think you're... Oh, God, you're a liar. I really want to read this story about
what
the Tizer.
What are you, then? Let's
I really want to...
you. What are you, then?
What would you like to know?
What are you?
I don't understand the
what
question.
What are you? Quite a vile person, from what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably a liar.
Oh, I've lied. Yeah, of course I've lied. Yeah. I really want to read this story about the Tizer King, but I don't want to do it while you're here. But I also don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, please do.
No, I'm not going to. Oh, God, no, I'm not going to.
And then tell me never to ring back again. Because
no, I want you to ring back.
And I don't agree with everything.
You will ring back. You will ring back.
I won't.
You will ring back.
I'm not even going to listen to talk radio. And if anything, I will
so
be
you're
putting
not gonna,
an email when
you're
I
not,
get off the phone as an
oh, please do.
Complaint.
It's denny.morris.
No, I've already got it all. Don't worry about that.
You've got the complaint email address. Do you want to check?
I've
you've got it right.
I've complained once about you before.
Oh. So you've listened.
That
oh.
You were talking about.
Oh, Lisa, sorry. So you've listened before. Wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. What have been at? Wow. Oh, that's big, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
So you listen regularly?
Down. Let's put all the callers down. Go on.
Lisa, you're a regular...
show.
You're a regular listener.
No. Maybe with James Whale and Julie Hartley Brewer and...
Julie Hartley Brewer?
Especially Mike Graham. He's
but you're going to stop listening to talk radio because of me?
No, I'm just not going
to... Oh, you just said you were never going to listen to talk radio again.
No, not you.
Yeah, you did. You actually
not
said
you.
That. Yeah.
No, I'll listen to James Whale.
Are you drunk?
All Ian Graham and yeah, all that.
Ian
yeah,
Graham? But Ian Graham? You don't even know the names of the presenters.
No, the one that's on at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Ian Graham?
No.
That's what you just said.
You said what his name was.
Yeah, you said Ian Graham.
Oh, please. Really? Are you really stooping that low?
Coming down to
really?
Your level, love. Coming
no,
down to your
no,
level.
No. Look how insulting you are.
Where have
your
I insulted
must
you?
Be very proud of you.
Where have
you're
I insulted you?
To me, I'm a liar.
You're
you
a liar. You've not been out.
Love.
You've not been out.
I've been out.
For exercise at midnight.
I've been out. Yeah.
Liar.
Yeah.
I don't think you were out for exercise. I don't
why?
Think you were out.
Why?
And if you were out, it wasn't
why?
For
why?
Exercise.
Why would someone go out at you know to, a ridiculous hour to avoid everyone? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why don't they go out at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Why don't they do that?
Because they're I don't know, maybe it's because they're a fantasist. Because maybe and going out at midnight in London makes sense, Lisa, doesn't it?
Okay, who says I'm in London?
The switchboard says you're in London. The phone, the switchboard system tells us where you're calling from.
Right, okay. I'm not in London, so...
Okay, but it says you're calling from London, so.
Right, okay, but I'm not in London. I should know where I live.
Another
lie. Hang on a minute, I must be lying again.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, of course okay. I do. Yeah.
All right, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Okay,
I look forward to the second one.
Yeah. Well,
if you want to make a complaint that really counts, don't complain to the radio station. Complain to Ofcom. They're the people that have the power.
No, you know, I was just trying to bring it to the forefront, how quite vile you come across.
Okay.
I've been a listener. I'm listening to this evening.
And the way
you're very boring, Lisa. You're repeating yourself quite a lot. Very boring and repetitive, yeah. I'll be honest.
Trying to make yourself look big again. Oh, dear. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm just saying this is a really boring, repetitive call.
Bob, tell me not to ring again. Go on, because I'm never so boring.
No, I'm not going to say that. You don't tell me what to say, I'm afraid. I look forward to our second call. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good. I just hope that, you know, at some point you do change direction and you do leave talk radio.
Well, I'll bear that in mind. I'll bear that in mind.
Because you really do put the station down entirely. It's such a shame.
I'm the only one that's won awards here, but
really
there you go.
It really is. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. Give yourself a big pat on the back.
Oh, I do every day.
Oh, what was every that day. For? What was that for?
One was for Best Speech Broadcaster and one was for Radio Moment of the Year.
Yeah. They probably pitied you, that's why.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I think that's how awards work. Yeah, they pity people and they give them to the ones they pity. I noticed Julia didn't win an award.
Probably all lies as well.
Julia didn't win an award at the same ceremony.
Dear. Oh,
so pity.
Doesn't that make you a big man?
Does make me a big man. Yeah. Very big. Yeah.
In your own age. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 6'4".
Yeah. Yeah. Idiot. Yeah.
There we go. Now we see you. Now we see you, Lisa. Now we see you. Now we see you.
Yeah, because I'm a liar as well. Anything else that I am?
Very rude.
Very rude, and you're not, okay?
Well, you've insulted me. I've not insulted you once in this phone call.
No, but you've been rude to other people, and it's just really bad.
And so it's your job to be rude back to me,
isn't
it? It
really is bad. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying
what you have been rude. You have been rude.
So what? So have you.
I'm so sorry for you, Lisa. I'm really sorry that you're scared with what's going on. I'm really sorry that you don't feel...
I'm shaking. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, why am I then? Why am I scared?
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in your voice.
Right, okay.
I don't know if you're scared. I don't know if you're scared of the virus.
Okay.
I don't know if you're scared of the virus or if you're scared of the lockdown or if you're scared of losing people.
No.
But I know, I can tell that you're scared and I hope that fear passes.
No. So are you a therapist now?
I'm looking at becoming one, as you would have heard, yeah.
Yeah, okay then. Anything else you're experiencing that we should know of?
I'm not experiencing anything.
What, like I'm a liar, I haven't been out, I'm petrified...
I'm glad we're getting to the truth of it, Lisa. Glad we're getting to the truth.
For that, more than anything else.
How do you think this call went, Lisa?
Just how I thought it would go, to be honest, with your attitude.
Beautiful.
And quite obviously for you, it's very boring.
Really boring.
Yeah.
I kept you on hoping we might get somewhere interesting, but we just couldn't do it, could you, Lisa?
Do what?
Well, listen... We have to go because the show's coming to an end.
I know. Good.
Yeah. But I'll be back tomorrow and I look forward to your next call.
Okay. Don't hold your breath.
Well, I won't. That would be silly, wouldn't it?
That's different of opinion there, but okay.
Oh, now you're wishing me dead. Lisa, yeah. I have nothing
just
but love
like
for you.
You're saying I'm a liar. That's not insulting.
I have nothing but love for you and I wish you peace.
Yeah. Big love back. Big love back.
You take care of yourself, Lisa.
Yeah, you definitely take care of yourself. Don't think anyone else would want to, but okay.
Bye, Lisa.
Did I make you feel as small as you made that other man feel?
Not in the slightest.
I have. You'll go home and think about this call.
More than any
other call this evening. It's probably sticking your mind for months to come.
Lisa, we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call, my love. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Lisa will be back tomorrow or later in the week. This is Talk Radio. Talk Radio.